Test, test.
When you're ready, hold the phone. I'd like to call the Tuesday, October 23rd meeting of the Finance Personnel and Audit Committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Supervisor Cox.
Excused.
Schmidt.
Here.
Bubba Webb.
Present.
Jersey.
Here.
Lipscomb.
Here.
Alexander.
Present.
Stamper.
Excused. I assume he's on his way. Supervisor Haas is here.
Supervisor Johnson.
Stay here.
Here.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair.
Here.
We have a
quorum
of
none. And just for housekeeping purposes, as we begin, there has been some discussion among some supervisors who have been introducing amendments on the War Memorial Center. So, Amendment 1C007 offered by Supervisor Alexander, 1C001 offered by Supervisor Wysham, 1B005 offered by Supervisor Jerzyk, and 1B004 by Supervisor Sanfilippo will not be taken up today. It will be laid over till next week with the hope that the parties can come to some agreement on this issue. And I've talked to the offering members who are now on the committee, and that's fine with them. Supervisor Jerzyk, Supervisor Alexander, that procedure is okay with you? Great. Then we're pretty much going to go in order. And we're going to try, and I think most of the committee members know pretty much how they feel about these amendments, so I don't know that speakers need to probably go overboard speaking or arguing, either from the public or members of the committee making their points on this, because I don't know that you're going to be changing any minds at this point in the process. So, but with that, if there's public members that want to speak, the blue card's back there, if you wish to speak. Did you have something to say before we go on, Supervisor Schmidt?
Sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't intend to speak on every amendment, if that's what you're asking. I will make just one speech on the whole group, and that would be that it's tough for me to look at this to start off with. It's a tough start for taxpayers and where I want to be. If you look at the first five amendments, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the first five amendments we have with us, we're talking about, except for Supervisor Alexander, the second one, all the other ones are major tax levy uppers. As a matter of fact, the total for those four is $2,776,161. So that's almost $3 million in tax levy uppers when we start off the process. And we haven't looked yet at the sheriff's budget, the employee's budget, two major areas where the budget has been severely cut, which many supervisors, including myself and the employee area, probably like to do something. So it's a heck of a lot of money to start off with, $3 million, and I won't be voting for those stuff this week. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, not all of these are all going to pass, probably, and stay tuned. There'll be things coming later in the week that may make you a little happier. So, with that, anybody else have any opening comments that they wish to make? If not, would you call the First Amendment, Madam Clerk?
We'll be discussing the Health and Human Services, and the First Amendment is 1A022. Supervisors, please make sure that your speakers are on.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am offering this amendment because for a good part of my tenure as a county supervisor, I will admit that I'm a former human service worker, and so I'm partial to human services. But nevertheless, for most of my tenure here, and I have another county executive, actually my third, but the county executive before us was one who intended to get rid of targeted case management programs and community support programs, community-based programs that are very important to people in this area, in this county. And instead of outsourcing the downtown's community support program, I have at least offered to restore that unit. Again, for many years, the tenor was to get rid of these workers, to get rid of the occupational therapist, anybody who was associated with that set of units. And so I ask that my colleagues support this so that, again, the number of county employees can be restored to their positions. They need not have to, even though in this particular case, this unit will be abolished in June of 2013. Nevertheless, there's no guarantee that these people would be able to continue the valuable work. So I move approval of this amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Ramirez?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a difficult vote for me, because in years past, I'm the one who puts the money back in the CSP, because they do great work, and they are a necessary function. However, this year is a little different in that we have the mental health redesign, and we are taking aggressive steps. We have everybody at the table, and we're trying to move things into the community. And unfortunately, this is, you know, part of that first step. And so, with the money that we're saving, we're purchasing additional community slots. So these individuals that are receiving service at the downtown CFP will continue to receive service in the community. I understand also being a former social worker, human service worker, the love and attention that these employees have given to these clients. However, it's hard for me to vote to restore a service knowing that this is ultimately something that's not going to be around anymore. This is part of what, part of the steps that we're taking in order to move people into the community, which is something that I think the majority of the people on the board believe is a positive step. And so for that reason, I can't support the amendment that's in front of us. I also feel that this is somewhat of a domino effect. You know, if we start with the downtown CST and put the money back in for that, and then we can put the money back in for, you know, Hilltop, and the money back in for the acute, and we're trying to take a step away from those things. And so, again, this is probably one of the harder votes that I'll take, not just in this budget, but, you know, in my career, but I can't be supportive of this today. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we'll get your hard one out of the way right off the top. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I need some clarification as to what is really going on with the proposal, and perhaps the department has to explain that then. And I tried to ask this previously, so I apologize that I'm bringing it up again. But to the extent that we've made this cut, it does not appear that they reinvested the savings in this service, but I guess I want to understand, did they in fact reinvest the savings in other community services and behavioral health services, or is this simply a move away from our employees and to a cheaper service delivery?
Mr. Cady, do you have a response to that, or Ms. Collins, or Ms. Torhorst?
Yeah, I'd like the department head to respond, please.
Okay. They're here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Supervisor,
could you just all identify yourself for the record?
Sorry. Paula Lucy, VHD Administrator.
Hector Colon, Director.
Alex Kutza, DHHS Budget Manager.
Thank you. Supervisor, we have not been, I think we tried to explain in our opening remarks before. We took the county executive was able to invest $3 million in last year's budget when there were no cuts, and so that this year we maintained that $3 million and we did have some cuts this year, so that we had a year last year where we had an investment with no cuts, so that we're still in a plus side. I'm not saying that very well, but the net is still a plus investment into the community services.
Chairman and Supervisor, basically there was no downsizing this year. And there was $3 million put into the budget to help build those supports and that capacity in the community in anticipation of the downsizing that is going to occur this next year through our budget initiatives. So if you look at the downsizing dollar amount, it comes out to $1.4 million approximately. $400,000 of that is in this downtown CSP, which is going to be assumed by another community provider that's been RFP'd, and if the board were allowed us to move forward, that would be assumed by another nonprofit organization in the community. And so that's pretty much the explanation that this year, those monies, although it appears appears that it wasn't reinvested. Technically, that $3 million where the county executive and this county board was proactive in putting that money in anticipation of the downsizing that's going to occur this year. So we actually invested three times the million that is being downsized.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just about, so, and I think I understood that explanation. And then, in terms of the capacity, the number of slots, or whatever, in terms of this service, is it equal to what we were, or we, but we've not reinvested or expanded the capacity for this service?
It's equal slots.
Yes.
Equal caseload.
We do have another.
We do have plans to invest another $400,000. That was part of that $1.1 million report that came before the board previously in Health and Human Needs, and that's going to be some additional case management capacity that we will have in the community to help us with our redesign efforts and serving people in the community with support.
Okay. And you had mentioned previously that while the downtown is in this budget for elimination, that we avoided a cut in another location. Is it expected that this is the trend? We're getting out of this, providing this directly, that you're expecting to go in that direction in the future?
I think, Supervisor, it's premature for us to make that claim. We do feel we have been very successful in outsourcing our TCM and our case management. We have eight units of case management. We're only currently running two. We've been very successful, and we feel very comfortable with that can occur. But we have not made any decisions yet about any future downsizing.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, the reason I'm asking this is I'm trying to understand strategically, then, if we haven't made that decision, why do we believe that we should head in that direction if it isn't part of a broader expectation that better services are provided by contracting it out?
I would just say that I think I'm always careful to avoid making a decision too far out before we really see how, we'll do this one, we'll see how it works. I assume it will work great. I think it will work great. Then we'll make a decision about the other one. I think it's a prudent sort of planning approach is what I'm trying to implement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know for many years, people who were a part of the targeted case management units would come to us, come to the supervisors, because previous county executive would continually take them out of the budget, along with the community support programs. You mentioned the $3 million last year. Part of that went to having some mental health out.
Community
services put on the north side.
Yes, sir.
And for that I'm very appreciative. TCM actually was faded out last year with that $3 million. It's not so much the case this year because CSP is being, the downtown unit is being eliminated. But it's not as if it was were eliminated last year. It was not eliminated last year. It continues to exist. And so I am hesitant in voting for its removal without a commensurate allocation to go in the community. Now, this is to happen in June, but again, I'm looking toward community. If there is to be a change from Marshall County units becoming eventually community units, or there's that change, then we want to make sure, at least I want to make sure, that there's a commensurate amount of investment, as Director Cologne indicated, in that community. But again, it's not as if last year the community support programs, along with the targeted case management units, were eliminated. There was very little communication to supervisors last year, very little with respect to the final TCM units, with that $3 million investment afforded by the county executive. But for this year, as I said, it's not as if we are replacing a unit that was abolished last year. Therefore, I hope that my colleagues are able to support me.
of this amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Could I just clarify? Last year, there was a TCM unit that was still county operated that we did privatize, and we did do an RFP. We moved those slots to an outside agency, which I don't remember who it was, various outside agencies. So there was no decrease in slots. It was a movement between being county-operated into being operated by a community agency, which is the request this year as well, to move that from being a county-operated procedure to being being done by an outside agency.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, my concern is for these county employees, that are set, that every year they've had to make this fight with respect to retaining county employment. Our economy is getting stronger, for which I'm very appreciative, but I don't have a family. That is to say, I'm not married, I don't have children, and I don't have all of that to be concerned about. And for those who are in that position, I want them to be in a stable situation. Therefore, I've offered them in. As far as community services are concerned, if community services are to be made available, and you spoke of an RFP, what this RFP would, I take it there's no sole source entity that's involved, but the RFP would be let, and you get an answer for June 2013. I still think that that's inadequate with respect to the stability of those people who have faithfully served Milwaukee County for a number of years. And again, I hope my colleagues will vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Supervisor Stamper?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the $3 million was invested and the community service programs were coexisting, and the goal being to transition these programs back into the community, what happens after the $3 million is exhausted? What happens to those programs and to the people being served? Because the $3 million was a one-time investment, correct?
No, not exactly.
It's an ongoing investment?
Go ahead, if you have an answer.
Okay. So it's really kind of two things going on here, Supervisor. Last year, we received in our budget $3 million for investment. We used that money to do a number of things, to increase an additional, as Supervisor Johnson says, an additional CRC on the north side, to increase to begin our discharge planning program, our class program that we're doing with La Causa, to begin to have some additional respite, to make the changes that we've brought to Health and Human Needs regarding the changes in the mobile crisis team, and a number of initiatives. All of those initiatives are maintained in the 2013 budget. So that money continues to be invested in those areas in 2013. I've always been saying it's not like we had this $3 million in some sort of a little lockbox and we're just paying it out. It's part of our overall budget, and it gets moved into the 2013 budget. This initiative is to take advantage of an opportunity to receive the same service in the community using community providers.
Mr. Chair, I understood that. I'm talking about, okay, 2013, once the $3 million is exhausted, what happens after 2013? Next, in 2014, how will the programs continue?
It's now part of our base budget, if you will.
Okay.
And so that in 2014, we'd look at those programs as we look at any program, and I would assume we would continue them. But, it's part of our base budget. It's not a set aside separate fund anymore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask in relation to multiple emails I received from community members this morning. Does the budget as it stands without the amendment in any way put us not in compliance with a County Board Resolution 11-516 that was recommended by the HSRI study and the Mental Health Redesign Task Force. I just want to make sure, as in relation to that detail, that we're still in compliance with our own resolution there with the budget as it stands.
I'm assuming the department is going to say yes.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I'd have to review the actual resolution before I can answer that question.
Ms. Torres, do you have a...
Chairman, Supervisors, again, I'd like to just kind of reiterate the fact that we made an investment up front. So some of the savings this year, because of the investment up front, are already sunk into the budget. So that the savings achieved through the year this year haven't really been achieved as true savings.
Sue Redderon West has a...
I'll take that. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. Sue Redderon
West. I just wanted to add that this specific piece of the budget doesn't have... It wasn't written in. What they're talking about, again, is the savings and the reinvestment. And I think maybe there's a philosophical difference in what we see as savings and what we see as reinvestment versus some of these other outside entities. And so this specific initiative was not included in the mental health redesign. When you get to the mental health redesign resolution, what they're talking about, again, is those reinvestment dollars. And so because we still have money left from the original $3 million, and because this is a proposed initiative in the 2013 budget, our savings are on paper right now, but until we get to the 2014 budget and are able to look back at this year and see whether or not these savings materialized, we don't actually have money in hand to reinvest. I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If there's nothing further, we have a motion on the floor for Supervisor Supervisor Johnson to adopt this amendment. And would you please call the roll?
On adoption, Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Homo West?
No.
Jerzyk?
No.
Liscomb? Alexander?
No.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion is approved on a vote of 5-4.
Okay. Thank you. Next item, Madam Clerk.
Next item is Amendment 1A021 by Supervisor Alexander.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the Behavioral Health Division, in the front desk area, there are two current county positions that are discussed in this amendment. The first is a distribution assistant, and the second is an office support assistant. The primary difference between these two positions is in their actual job descriptions. The distribution assistant only fills in at the front desk, mostly for breaks and that sort of thing, whereas the office support assistant, the front desk is more of that person's primary duty. The current budget would abolish the distribution assistant position, and the problem with that is that the transfer to privatizing the front desk area does not match up with the job descriptions, and also the distribution assistants that would be displaced would essentially be laid off because that job title does not have the opportunity for transfer within the county, whereas the office support assistants would potentially have the ability to seek transfer within the county. I would also say that Mr. Ron Hart, who I see is present here today, knows a lot more about this as well as Alex Coastal. So if it would please the chairman and the committee, if there's other questions, they could help clarify this as well. Thank you.
You've made a motion to approve this amendment?
I do make a motion to approve this amendment.
Thanks. Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is, if these positions are, abolished and transferred, then I take it that Supervisor Alexander means that these office support assistant two people can be relocated either within the Behavioral Health Division or somewhere else in the in county service?
That's my understanding, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And there is no tax levy impact on this?
Correct. There is no tax levy impact. The bottom line here is that if the distribution assistant positions are eliminated, those employees will most certainly lose their jobs, whereas if the other positions are eliminated, those employees have the opportunity to either transfer their positions or transfer to other positions within the county.
Mr. Hyde, Ms. Lucy, do you have brief comments for us?
Just to say that these the positions are in the same pay range, and so it was merely sort of a technical adjustment in terms of which actual titles were will be cleaned up, how it will be cleaned up. And we worked this out with Mr. Hart so that we can we have openings for office assistants, twos, and other places, and so this makes the most sense, actually.
Do you support this amendment?
I do.
Mr. Hart, you support this amendment?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I don't know if we need to hear much further. Is there any other discussion? Can you take the roll on the motion?
On the motion for approval, Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Stromel West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved.
Thank you.
Vote of 9-0.
Work.
The next amendment is 1A008 by Supervisors Broderick and Haas.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that a revised copy is being submitted to the committee, and that since you're not hearing revised copies, you'll hear this on Thursday. Is that correct?
That's the tentative plan. Yeah, that's okay with you as the author?
Sure, that's fine.
And then Mr. Keaton registered to speak on this, and Mr. Keaton knows that we'll take it up Thursday. Okay.
For clarity, this item has been laid over.
Laid over until Thursday. Right. Maybe the term of honor, we're supposed to say the call of the chair. Okay, we'll say the call of the chair.
Thank you.
Supervisor Haas?
Mr. Chairman, shall I make that motion? Move to lay over to the call of the chair.
I don't know, we need a motion. If we,
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. Next.
The next question is 1A007 by Supervisor Wyshon.
Supervisor Wyshon, do you have anything you want to tell us about this one?
Sorry.
That's okay.
Right. Colleagues there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My colleagues, what you have before you, for us here is a resolution for the EMS service. And what it does is actually bring us back to the 2011 level of subsidy in which we provided to the municipalities. What this does is stop the erosion of a core service that Milwaukee County provides, and I would say one of the highest performing services that the county provides, and really gets a dollar value put out there for the citizens when you think of the EMS service. What this does is add $1.75 million to the addition to the already included $1.5 million in the budget. With a caveat that if the municipalities sign on to 2 points, and one is that in the new agreement that would go forward with the EMS contract, that we would keep the phrase that we have a uniform billing fee schedule. There's the potential that in any new agreement that there would the municipalities, the host communities, would be able to bill what they see fit to provide the service. So you would have an uneven level of pricing potentially throughout Milwaukee County. This doesn't set the price. It just says that when the municipalities come together that they have to agree on a uniform billing. And the second bullet point is that to be consistent with with federal law that municipalities accept Medicaid, Medicare, and any coinsurance as payment in full. And what that is, that's to protect our seniors in our community that have spent 30, 40, 50 years paying property taxes. Now they actually need a service. And what's happening is that, say, a paramedic run costs $1,000, that Medicare will pick up half of that, roughly about $500. There may be coinsurance for another $250. And then that person is being billed for an additional $250. And depending on which municipality you live in, some are very aggressive in collecting those bills and some are not. So I just think that if you spent that time in our community and you've just gone through a major episode where you needed the paramedics, the last thing that you need is to have a bill collector calling your house and saying that you need to pay up. So that's the two bullet points in there. And then the last part is that it gives them up until April 1st for the municipalities in Milwaukee County to get together on a contract. If they are not successful in that, the additional $1.7 million drops to the bottom line for Milwaukee County. So I think this is a very good proposal for Milwaukee County. It protects our seniors. It supports a highly recognized service, and it provides an equal level of service throughout Milwaukee County, and I think it is well worth the tax levy increase. So thank you for your time, and hope you can support this.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor, are the municipalities, the other municipalities, are they familiar with this proposal? Has it been broached with them?
I have not talked with the ICC, you would say the other half that we would be negotiating this contract with. But we went through a very contentious EMS contract last time. They took a dramatic hit with a 50% cut in the subsidy that goes to municipalities, and that's where we are now with the current $1.5 million. And I just think that they may have been able to absorb a one-time hit of the $1.5 million from going from $3 million to $1.5 million. But everybody knows with the financial constraints that municipalities are under, along with the county, from cuts in shared revenue and things like that, that we've already seen things like brownouts in the city of Milwaukee and things on the firefighter side of things. So I think this is a way to help buttress and keep in place one of the best performing programs, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but the country.
Ms. Plotter, then Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. While I find it commendable that Supervisor Wyshon is here representing municipalities, the Department of Behavioral Health Services has negotiated and is about to bring forth to the board an almost finalized contract that does not include a further subsidy. This amendment is essentially throwing good money after bad money, in our opinion. We have an agreement that the ICC has virtually signed on to that has $1.5 million for a four-year contract. Of course, municipalities would, I'm sure, be more than welcome to accept more money if you're willing to give it to them. Unfortunately, I don't think we have a tree that grows it, so we'd prefer to maintain those funds at the county to provide services if they're not being demanded to continue the contract, which apparently they're not, as we have reached an agreement on the contract. Thank you.
Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. She brought a new topic. Supervisor Washington, would you like to, would you care to comment off that rebuttal, please?
Well, what I'm trying to do is get back to the point where we were in 2011. If you want to see a continued erosion of a world-class service provided by Milwaukee County that promotes cooperation amongst municipalities based on performance and outcomes, or if you just want to play the budget game of shifting responsibility of this service from Milwaukee County onto the local municipalities, we can continue that. But the end result will be the municipalities will do not have the tax base to keep up with the increased costs. And what you're going to further see is either the citizens who end up needing this service pay astronomically high fees or an erosion of the service. That is it. I see that this is one of our premier programs that's operated countywide that serves all citizens equally, whether you're rich or poor, and I do not want to see further erosion to this. Now, what those mayors may be willing to agree to is really not my concern. My concern is having a first-class paramedic program in Milwaukee County, not some short-term political decisions made by other officials in Milwaukee County.
And just expound a little bit on the uniform billing schedule that they have agreed to, or that they're that you're proposing.
In the draft agreement that I saw, there was a piece that would allow the municipalities to decide on what their billing rates would be. And that has the potential of creating an uneven surface when it comes to pricing for paramedic services throughout Milwaukee County. Now, whether that's in the agreement, I have no idea. All I saw is the draft proposal that I was given 2 months ago. And that has the potential. So I want to make sure that doesn't happen, because this is a county service, and all county residents should pay the same price for it, regardless of where they live.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Jersey?
Could I ask Mr. Hurst, do you know if South Milwaukee and Greenfield are agreed?
I'm not intimately aware of what communities have signed on. I would ask that Director Lucy come up, and since she has been the primary negotiator in this, to address that. And to address a statement that Supervisor Wyshon did address, we are still maintaining a world-class EMS system. We have an infrastructure that's not found anywhere else in the country, and we are funding that fully as a county. Municipalities may bill what they need to collect their fees. They may also assess a fee on their taxpayers if that's how they determine how their costs should be covered. It's not our job to tell municipalities how to do their budgets.
Director Lucy.
Hi. Supervisors, we have been sharing drafts back and forth with the ICC. South Milwaukee is the remaining one we need to have some discussion with, and as you know, I was planning to do that today, but it turned out it couldn't work out today because of this meeting, and I'm planning to keep having that discussion. Regarding the billing, that is a request from the municipalities that we took that section out. But I would also just say to you that in the hospital world and in the healthcare world, what you bill really doesn't matter. It's what you're going to get paid. And insurance companies are going to pay you what they're going to pay you, as is Medicare and as is Medicaid. So that it's it creates a bigger bad debt or a contractual write-off, but it really does not actually. They're going to pay you no matter what you bill.
We did have this discussion last year. By doing uniform billing, that provision actually gives savings to the insurance companies. It doesn't help our municipalities. And we all know that depending on where you live in the county, some of the municipalities do quite well with regard to the billing. Others don't do as well. And at least some flexibility there allows municipalities to try to maximize recovery on that. Please keep me in the loop on South Milwaukee. That's a very critical issue. They're one of the cities that has a very large elderly population, and they truly are struggling, but I do hope we'll get this figured out. I'm being assured by many of the firefighters that I've talked to that they think we can get close to a workable agreement with what's in the budget, so I won't be supporting the amendment. Thank you.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little caught in the middle on this amendment because I'm going to be the next chairwoman of the EMS Council very soon, and at the same time came to this position from BHD, where I worked as a bill collector to the insurance company. So I can see both sides of this argument, and I also do think that EMS is a very vital service, but I think at this time I'll be voting against it. And I just wanted to make everyone aware that, you know, I do see both sides of that coin. I have high hopes that with all of the talks happening at the national level for health care reform, perhaps our seniors and four will not ultimately be left out in the cold on their emergency bills. That's all I have on this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Lipscomb and Supervisor Borkowski has comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. It's very difficult, but I won't support the amendment. I think, you know, it was very, very hard fought last year, and but I couldn't leave unanswered the administration's comments. I thought that was a deplorable way of characterizing the program, that this would be good money after bad. I think there are a few people who would say that this program is bad, and that if we could afford it, that we shouldn't support it more fully. I think it's hypocrisy that they've talked about this program in this way and talked about it as a subsidy, and yet, you know, we're going to take up tomorrow a proposal where they'd like to institute law enforcement grants, but they don't see that as a subsidy. So that couldn't go unanswered, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Lipson stole my thunder a little bit, but
Hello.
There's a little thing in there.
Supervisor Lipscomb stole a little bit of my thunder, but I also am not going to allow Ms. Torhorse's crass remark go unimpeded. It was the Abley administration last year that decimated the paramedic program, a nationally ranked program over the course of the last 35, 36 years. I should say that over the objections of the county executive and this county board, well, actually the previous county board, three times overrode the county executive as far as restoring some monies, yet the county executive found it in his favor to brag about how much how much he gave to the communities for this, in essence, subsidy. I might also add that, I'm not going to go there. I want Ms. Torhorse to know that good money after bad is an insult to the EMS program, and that I don't think any of us should take it. While I commend Supervisor Weishaupt for trying to bring us back to where we once were, I recognize that financially our limitations are somewhat shortened, but you know what? It's still a nationally ranked program. And let me remind everybody, it's Milwaukee County's EMS, regardless of what the county executive and his staff say.
Supervisor Taylor, do you have some of that?
Yeah, I got to follow that. It's going to be tough to, but I'm going to make it real brief. We do have a tight budget. There's no doubt about that, but so do the municipalities. I should know. I just been working on our Franklin one. And I will tell you that it's my prediction that this EMS paramedic program will not last the next 4 years if it's 1.5 every year. Because as these budgets are getting tighter, and you look at whether it's in the best interest of a city like South Milwaukee or Franklin or Oak Creek or Greenfield to continue to go to their taxpayers and say, we got to charge you more. You know, I don't know what the right dollar amount is, but 1.5 is not enough, and I think the fact that the municipalities have had such a tough time signing off on that tells you so.
Thank you. Mr. Rashford.
Thank you. Well, we all know it's a difficult issue, but, you know, it's nice to make speeches, but you've got to be willing to put the money in the budget to do it then. And if we're not willing to put the money in, then, you know, we can talk, but it's just not going to happen. I think we have a world-class, I'm interested. I I appreciate a supervisor who puts in amendments that is willing to vote for the amendments, and they're willing with their constituency then to do that. I'm not. I said so in the beginning. This is a tough one, but like I said, it's $1,750,000 we have to put into the tax levy. So I haven't heard any support from my colleagues on the committee for it, and even understanding. I think we need to keep working on it, and we have. It's just it's the realities of life, like I've tried to say a number of times. So I am going to move to move rejection on the well-intended amendment, but to move to reject.
So we have a motion to deny this amendment. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make one clarification on this. With the funding formula is still decided by the ICC Council, and I cannot state the importance enough of the first bullet point of a uniform billing. It's not a subsidy to the insurance company. If you're driving down 76th Street and you're on 76th in Oklahoma, you know, near where I live, if you're on the south side of Oklahoma, it's the city of Milwaukee. If you're on the north side, it's the city of West Dallas. You should not be charged more or less depending on what side of the street you have an accident on. And that's what's important. Whatever the amount is that is decided by the ICC Council, it should be uniform across Milwaukee County, and it shouldn't be left up to any individual municipality to have a fluctuating different schedule. So I think that's critically important for countywide delivered service. So I would hope that if we can move beyond this, and we'll work for budget adoption day. Thank you.
Can you take the wrong motion? Supervisor Samper had a comment. Sorry.
Yes. I respect Supervisor Weishan's initiative because it says in the resolution that if they don't agree to the uniform billing, the $1.7 million will be returned back to the bottom line. So there's some leeway for negotiation that they have to agree to, which I see as a benefit. So I will be supporting this amendment. Thank you.
So the motion is to deny the amendment. If you want to So if you want to reject the amendment, your vote is aye. If you want to support the amendment, the vote is no. Take the roll, please.
Supervisor Todd.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Fomalhaut.
Aye.
Jerzan.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to deny approved 8-1.
Thank you.
Next amendment is 1A020, also by Supervisor Weishaupt.
Supervisor Weishaupt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an effort to bring some parity on the psychiatric social worker piece. We have a couple different job titles, though they do similar work, and this is just an attempt. It's something that I know the department has been made aware of and they've been working on, and I just thought that we needed to highlight the issue to let us know that there is this pay disparity and it needs to be corrected. So this is just an attempt to do that.
Ms. Torhorst?
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. I just wanted to make the committee aware that there is a recently hired compensation analyst, I believe you've heard from her on earlier items, that was hired and is assessing all of the county positions countywide, and it is our hope that this amendment is looked at again perhaps mid-year once we have the full compensation analysis done on all the county positions so that there could be a larger look at if we are underpaying or overpaying in positions and have a discussion about what every county staff should be paid versus one small segment.
Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also think that this is something that needs to be looked at, but I'm not sure that now is the time to do that either. Part of what brought this about was the represented versus non-represented. And so we had settled with the nurses union, therefore occupational therapists and the people that were represented by the nursing union received a raise, at which point there was a pay disparity between those individuals and these individuals. And so I also received a phone call from someone who said, hey, you know, these people are now making more money than we are. And at the time, we had active labor unions, and I said, unfortunately, there's really nothing that we can do about that because they're represented, and unfortunately, they're not. And so I'm anxious to see or to get the results of the work that's going to be done in evaluating these things. I'm just not sure that adding $485,592 into the budget is the proper way to handle this situation. And so,
Are you making a motion?
You know what? I'm not going to offer a motion.
Okay.
I don't have enough. I'd like to hear from the department, from the PC regarding this amendment, if she's aware of it, what this does in regards to her hiring practices and pay range. I guess, too, I'm a little nervous about the precedent it set. I think there's a lot of people who believe that they should be paid more, and I'm not entirely sure if these people aggressively lobby, the county board, should we then put, amendments in the budget for them, or a little bit of uncharted territory here for us. Thank you.
Director Lucy?
Chairman and supervisors, we are aware of this pay issue. We have asked HR to take a look at it and make a recommendation. As you see, it's an expensive issue, and so we want to make sure that we look at all aspects of it, including the supervisors and all the other things that would be impacted by doing this.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Administrator Lucy, with respect to this amendment, I had 4 people over time getting raises, but Mr. Horst indicated that the compensation analyst will be looking at comparables, which is something that I would support. But the squeaky wheel gets grease, and by that I mean if attention is not brought to something like this time next year, there may not be a plan, there may not be a study, there may not be an offering of somebody to the departments that this is what we believe you should be paying your employees, which is something that I would be wholeheartedly for. So my point is that if Human Resources is going to do a study, is going to make sure that there's a thorough review, that's something I can welcome. I'm not on the Health and Human Needs Committee, so I would not be a member who would constantly be saying something to whoever committee, whoever departmental division people would be there to let them know that this is something that we spoke to in the budget and is something that needs to be addressed. So I hope that you do address this at some point within the near future, that Department of Human Resources comes up with these comparables, and that everybody in this room does not forget such months later. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We do have one person from the public who'd like to speak.
Okay.
Thanks. And that is Patricia Rogers, District Council 48. Speaking in favor.
Yes, I am Patricia Rogers, president of Local 645. I represent the PSWs, which I think is what we're talking about, versus not even verses, the occupational therapists who are represented by the nurses union. This has been ongoing. This has been going on for several years. We've brought it to the attention of supervisors and the department. PSWs are required to have a higher level of education than occupational therapists, and I would never recommend, as I heard a little while ago, raising, but not lowering anybody's salary. But we have been asking for this for quite a while, that the PSWs, like I said, who have a higher level requirement of education than the occupational therapists, are paid, it's a good $10 less an hour. And they do essentially the same, if not more, duties than the occupational therapists. And I'm in agreement with Supervisor Wyshon, as I am with the people I represent, the PSWs, psychiatric social workers. Thank you.
It sounded to me like you made a good argument for a study of the whole system. anybody else have something to add? If not, we need a motion to either approve or deny this. I guess if nobody makes a motion, Mr. Katie, then what happens?
Just move to deny, Mr. Chairman.
Oh. Supervisor Lipscomb moves to deny.
Okay.
On the motion for denial, Supervisor Scott.
No.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Fama West.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved on a vote of 7-2. To deny.
To deny.
The next section will be budgets and amendments of the Parks, Recreation, and Culture. First one will be 1A019.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is amendments to create a crowdsourcing intern for the Parks Department. Crowdsourcing is a way to get people and even money together fast and cheaply. And I have done it prior to my work on the county board. We built the Hyde House Community Garden through crowdsourcing, which is different, slightly different from crowdfunding. But we got 200 people together on May 1st, 2010, to build a big community garden. And this is what I think Parks Department can benefit from having. There is no impact to the tax levy for doing this. It's an internship position, but it could bring a lot of good stuff into our parks. I move approval.
Any other questions or discussion on this? If not, will you take the roll?
On approval, Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved on a vote of 9-0 to approve. The next item is 1C005 by Supervisor Lipscomb and Stamper.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move approval. The amendment basically strikes the language that referenced new public art. And I think my intent with this, two things. One, that repair, maintenance of our existing public art, cash financing of that is necessary, and so land sales is an appropriate funding source. But I did not want the impression that land sales was going to be the new funding source for public art, that should not be the direction that we head in terms of new public art. So that is the amendment. I appreciate the support.
Any other questions or comments on this one? We have a motion to approve. So no other comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would this in any way bar the Public Art Committee from recommending a purchase of new arcs, or how to restrain that body?
Mr. Chairman, it does not in any way restrict us from having a robust public art program that has other funding. It just says that we wouldn't, at least for 13, we're not using land sales to fund new public art. So it is not incompatible with other proposals to change the public art program or reintroduce the public art program.
Mr. Chairman, do we not have another amendment pending that would use land sale money for public? No, it's part. I withdraw that question. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Supervisor Brown.
Yes, I mean, I think referring to the beer garden one that was going to use land sales and stuff like that to it. And I'm pleased about this because I like to be consistent. Be a little parochial. I mean, if we're taking monies out of one area, I think it should be used for monies in that area. For example, if you're talking about employees and everybody's jumping on to take the $500,000 away in amendments, but if you do that, then you should put it back into the employees, not some other area. I'm very adamant parochial about in land sales, too, particularly. If you take some out of lands, I mean, we make land sales, it should go in economic development. Now, we did $1 million last year, put in for jobs. I thought it was $500,000 too much, but it's still a good idea. I still haven't given that up. But we did use $1 million, and I want to see some results, but I'm waiting for the report on that, by the way. Okay? And my point being here is that general point I wanted to make, I like to be consistent, stay in those kind of areas, and maybe that's why I would vote for some amendments if they use monies in different areas to help other areas, just create those holes in the areas you're trying to repair. So I appreciate that amendment, and I would support this. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve any of Ms. Torres.
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. I guess I'm torn on when to comment on public art, if it's on this one or if it's on the amendment that's coming forth. And I'll preface it a little bit in I sat in on the last year and a half public art committee meetings, and there was some challenges associated with having funded the program with capital dollars. There's certain ceilings and floors that have to be met on how we purchase things. And after researching it, having cash dollars from land sales seemed to be the best method for moving forward with this. To jump ahead a little bit, we also believe that the deferred maintenance issues that our capital dollars should be addressing are best addressing those deferred maintenance issues at this time. So I hate to not say that we couldn't purchase new art with this money, because I think that was our intent. If they would give the committee that power, you know, before the amendment on the capital process is taken up. So if I'm talking a little out of order, I apologize, but I feel like they're tied similarly enough to.
Thanks for your comment. Would you take the roll?
It's fine with me.
On the motion for approval, Supervisors Haas?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Romo West?
No.
Dozier?
Aye.
Westrom?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Stanford?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion approved by a vote of 7-2. The next item is Amendment 1A003 from Supervisor Kincaid.
Madam Chairman, you have some comments you'd like to make?
Just wanted to have for the record, Mr. Chairman, is Dmitrievich, Project Dursik, Lipscomb, Romo, West, Harris, and Scamper. And I'm here to answer any questions. I did receive a few questions about how this funding will work. So I'll just open it up for questions if there is any. But I had gotten this amendment out over a week ago. That's how I was able to obtain sponsorship from many colleagues. And I want to also let you know that the Parks Advisory Commission, this is an idea of the Parks Amenities Matching Fund, has been around for quite some time, but the question is, how do you fund it and leverage private funding? The Parks Advisory Commission will be looking at it, actually this amendment as well, today, but they've already been, there may even be people in the crowd, but they've been very positive about it. So just in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, if these revenues are reached, it could leverage in total be a total of approximately $800,000. When we talk about deferred maintenance and projects, I think this is a way to use revenue creatively to work on projects in our parks. So I'd appreciate your support.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, and Chairwoman. I did talk about this. You're very good about getting around and talking to people on things, and that's really the way to be. We got to do something about deferred maintenance. I commend, I know Supervisor, I mean, we all care about it. I think we really do. And we're looking for ways, and it's a creative way. I just have two questions and a little concern that I'd express to you, I'd like you to comment on possibly. And that is, well, the first thing here is the $250,000 of land sale, I made my point on that. I'm a little wary of that. Okay, in past years, we just really, really raided that, I thought, for everything under the sun. And that we took all sorts of other projects that I think went far afield. So, and I'm not seeing that this year, so I'm not saying maybe we couldn't use some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always wary, and of course, of counting on something before we get it, although I know Ronald McDonald, I think that's closing soon, that $700,000 that we're going to get. We worked very hard on that. So it doesn't ask for money that we don't have, number one, which is good. You guys hear you're shaking your head on there. Is this a one-time thing, or do you expect this for this budget only? Is that you're answering that question, too?
Go ahead.
That's the question I would have.
Yes, it's for the 2013 budget, unless we would secure a new funding source in 14, but this just really deals with 13. I hope we get enough private contributions to match for the money that we'll be depositing in. And remember, you're right, it won't, no project will happen until the revenues are achieved and the land sales are achieved.
Well, I've been very big and try to be consistent on this too, as far as, you know, we need to put some of our monies in if we expect private monies to come into
right.
it. That's why I've said on so many topics, you know, the war memorial stuff we talk about, the museums, et cetera, parks, that we need to make some initial, but not try to pay everything. I mean, it's just not possible. So I like the concept. The only other question I would have is the Parks Amenities Fund is further explained and oriented to 9,000 parks. I read that again. I didn't see where that was explained. Can you add anything else that is not in this amendment? I did not see in the write-up, or did I miss something, where it says the Parks Amenities Fund is further explained. I read that whole thing, and I mean, I can miss things. I'm getting old, but I don't remember seeing that. Is that somewhere someone can point that out to me, or a further explanation of it?
May I ask the staff look at that?
Okay.
Yep.
I wish I had the whole budget memorized, but that part I don't.
Well, no, none of us do. And I mean, you know, we read extensively in that. Is it in there?
Did
you
see it?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I think the explanation of that is that these are two sections of narrative that are being added. One is being added in the land sales section, and it's referring you to the first part, which will be added to 9000-4. So it's not in your current binder.
It's not. That's why you read it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Supervisor Jerzyk and Ms. Torres.
Chairman, I'd like to move approval.
No, we don't. Thank you.
I want to thank the chairwoman for this. Is a very positive program for our taxpayers. I especially like the part that develops the matching funds. It makes us, I think, partner more and more. We're going to public-private partnerships. I think we need to do that if we're going to keep our parks healthy. So I'm very pleased to be a co-sponsor with the pool.
Ms. Torres?
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisor. I asked the department head to come up here because I'm not positive on one aspect of this, as I just confused a couple minutes ago. But I believe that the RFP that was approved by the board was for up to 3 beer gardens in 12. So the second paragraph may be moot, but the primary concern that we have is the budgeted amount for beer gardens is already in Parks operating budget. So we're essentially taking operating dollars to perform capital deferred maintenance improvements. So if the department would like to comment on that impact on their budget, if they believe it would be any.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, for 2013, the Parks Department.
Just for the record, can you just identify yourself? I mean, most people
know. Oh, Jim Keegan from the Parks Department. Sorry about that. For 2013, the Parks Department has budgeted the current beer garden that we have operating. Our plans were to go forward and to do another RFI or an RFP to explore the opportunities that we have to potentially expand our beer garden opportunities. You know, I think we've shown a great success at Esterbrook, but we want to make sure that we've got the proper people in place, the proper infrastructure, before we make that choice, and then we would be bringing it forward for further evaluation by the board and for final approval, like we did the last time.
That's fine.
That answer your question? Your question's been answered?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything further?
Can I just add something to clarify?
Sure. Go ahead.
So it's clear that these were thought of to do two additional beer gardens, but the revenue is not budgeted in budget in 2013, therefore it would be additional. And now it will go for the Parks and 90s matching fund. Thank you.
Thanks. So we have a motion to approve. Seeing no further discussion, we take the roll.
Approval, Supervisor Soss.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Aye.
Thank you. Schmidt.
Aye.
Lovell West.
Aye.
Jersey.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Approved by a vote of 9-0.
Thank you.
Next budget is, or excuse me, the next amendment is 1A012 by Supervisor Stamper.
Supervisor Stamper?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm excited about this opportunity. Washington Park is one of the greatest parks in the Milwaukee County Park System. And what this does is offer youth and neighborhood children the opportunity for free swimming, opportunity to experience Washington Park's pool. Washington Park in 2012, since I've become a supervisor, has had numerous events, numerous initiatives, numerous developments in the park, such as the new state-of-the-art playground and trail. We've had a new workout facility. We've had a soccer league that has grown from 20 kids to 120 kids. We've had the Urban Cowboy Center with their new programs and volunteering and sponsorships in the park. And the attendance has been low for the pool. So I would appreciate if my colleagues would support my district, my Washington Park pool, in increasing attendance, increasing funds for the youth, and now also going on with the much development going in the park. This does not have a tax levy impact. Thank you to Supervisor Lipscomb and one of the great research analysts. We were able to fund this activity for 2013 with no tax levy. So I would welcome any questions, and I would appreciate my colleague's support.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a hard one.
You already had your hard one.
I usually try to speak one hard one a day. Okay. The issue that I have is not, that swimming should be free. I mean, we have a free day at Pelican Cove in Kosciuszko Park, and it's awesome and it's wonderful. The issue becomes taking money from the potamotomy revenue and having it benefit just one pool in one county park, in one district, where there are 18 of us. I think this is a really, and I talked earlier about setting bad precedent,
I think this does set a bad precedent because Supervisor Stemper, and it's a very little bit amount of money. I'm not begrudging you that. But Supervisor Stemper asked for $15,000 and now take $15,000 times 18 because we all want $15,000 for our parks so that we can have free swimming. Who doesn't want to have free swimming in their pool? So I applaud the initiative. I applaud the free thinking. But I can't support this in that. A, it takes $15,000 away from the Parks Department, who I sometimes marvel at and think they're very overly generous. I know at least with me they are, with special events and things like that, and their staff time, their staff has been, is spread very thin. And so, again, to take resources from the Parks Department to have it benefit one pool in one area, I think if Supervisor Stemper had put this in front of us and said, we're going to take this $15,000 and we're going to do one free day in every pool in Milwaukee County in every district, I'd be like, yes, and I'd be moving approval right now. But it's no disrespect to Supervisor Stemper and his creativity and his desire to want to provide this for his district. It's just that I think we're opening up Pandora's box. And this Pottawatomie revenue is so important and we rely on it. I think it's a slippery slope to support something that, again, benefits one pool in one park with funds that are supposed to be for the improvement of Milwaukee County as a whole. So thank you very much.
Sure. To write a mail.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to commend Supervisor Stemper for doing what he's doing. Only thing that I hope you do approve this, because if you use Pottawatomie money in the past, we have dedicated to other districts before, and if you talk to the esteemed analysts, we can bring up a number of them. And this is a small amount. The things that I wish that the supervisor would do is for everybody, because people from my district go to Washington Park. So it's not predicated, because everybody keeps doing this district thing. And when you look at pools or you look at activities, you have people from the whole Milwaukee County go to different parks and participate. But I would like, if the committee approves this and the board approves it, work with the Parks Department, do swimming lessons. One thing that we have a concern, because I did it with Moody Pool when I had Moody Pool, offer programming. When you offer something free, you make sure they have to earn it. Also, since you think you're taking away from revenue, because it is a free establishment at the time, they can also go up on the concessions. Because if they come in for the free swim, they can also generate money from the concessions. Thank you, Supervisor Council. So there's other opportunities to generate revenue while you're offering free swimming lessons and also CPR. Work with people with this program, because I think it could be a good learning tool for the people of the whole Milwaukee County and the people who come to Washington Park. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe Supervisor Stemper moved approval, and Supervisor Lipscomb, do you have some comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, it should be clear that that while Supervisor Stamper's proud of it because it's an asset in his district, that this is a countywide resource and asset and would be available countywide. I think Washington Park is an appropriate location for it. It's central. It's on a bus line. It's accessible. And so this really is an opportunity for all of us. And I'm very excited about it. And I just want to explain that it doesn't create any revenue hole. The Pottawatomie revenue is basically aligned with the projections of the city of Milwaukee. It's just a sort of dug in the couch and found that there was a little discrepancy between what the city had projected on this and what DOTS had projected. So it just realigns that, and I think it's very creative. But I appreciate Supervisor Stemper.
Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 3 years ago, I believe it's three, four years ago, a gentleman went over the fence in Washington Park and drowned. It's very important for young people in that area to know how to swim, to know how to be and to be appreciative of water safety. And and this precious Potawatomi money, $15,000 of which I think is a small amount, and would go toward at least giving opportunities for some young people and maybe some adults to swim, get exercise, learn about water safety, and to encourage others to go to the pool and also learn how to swim so as to lessen the incidence of drowning. So I'm in support of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I'm talking about $15,000, but the one thing, again, in consistency, and I know Supervisor Lipscomb appreciates this too, that we don't want to budget money we don't have in hand. We project or hope or presume that we might get some more money. We put the Potawatomi money is really significantly used to help projects that really, really need help, mostly in the city, of course, and for youth groups. Terrific amounts in IOTA funding, in behavioral health. Those, what, $3 million plus dollars we're using in these areas. So it's significantly used for the greater community good. I expect every supervisor to fight for things in their district, of course, and it was well done. I talked to Supervisor Stamper about it, too, and, looks okay, but, when I look at everything, too, I had the word precedent down, too. And, I know it's community-wide people come, but you can say that for all the pools. And Hoyt Pool was closed, and it had the second largest attendance by far after Cool Waters, and it was just shut down. It was 5 years, and a lot of people missed opportunities there. And then we built Schultz. It took $7 million. $7 million they didn't have to spend on Hoyt because we privately funded that. And supposedly not everybody could do that. People had to work hard. Most people who worked on that, by the way, don't have kids. It was a real community outpouring there. And I want to mention that because I think those people weren't given enough credit in that. That freed up $7 million to put in other places in our pools. And it was well done. I want those people to know that, too. They sacrificed a lot of hours and a lot of time. And it allowed us to do some other things that I'm proud of. I want to help out other areas, too. We're in this together. So the reason I'm begrudgingly no on this is because, and the swimming lessons I think would be a great idea. I think we need to go and sort of have programs to draw people. We have put in significant monies in this year, in Cozy and King. We thought that you've got some wonderful urban ecology center. I think is great there. I spent time in Washington Park. They have great cross country meets there. I was there for a super cross country meet just a couple weeks ago. So I think it's well used. I just think you do have a precedent here, and you're also using monies that are not in house yet. So if that can be worked on a little bit, I think it's creative. I compliment you on doing that, and just try to give my reason why. So I just not a meanie and just say no. So thank you.
Supervisor Alexander and Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious if we have any data on what current attendance is versus what it would be projected with free swimming next year, as well as the current price as compared to free swimming next year.
Thank you. I'd like to defer to Katie or Kaden. Would you come up and answer those questions, please?
Give me just one moment. I need to grab my budget book that has all my info.
Okay. Well, let me
go ahead, Supervisor Stamper.
Yes, I was able to talk to the Park Director Keegan before this meeting, and he did offer some programming, some swimming type programming, some neighborhood initiative type programming, and I was more than happy to hear that we can add an educational component to this new initiative. I also spoke with Tia, and she also expressed some program-type, voucher-type activities we can do for the youth neighborhood and just promote overall more attendance and more activity into the park. So I would welcome that. I would love to sit down and design it properly. But the goal is to increase attendance and to increase activity for the youth in the neighborhood. Thank you.
Mr. Keegan.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Jim Keegan from the Parks Department. For 2012, the total attendance at Washington Park was 7,791 individual swimmers. That doesn't just give any age group. It's just an average individual coming through the gate.
As Supervisor Stamper said, we've talked just before.
You also asked what the fee was to use it?
The fee is $1 per child and $2 per adult. And so the total revenue for 2012 was $10,546. I go back about, I've got like 5 years worth of data, and it floats between $10,000 and $15,000 on an annual basis. But as Supervisor Stamper said earlier, I expressed some concerns of safety and security issues with just a free swimming pool, you know, depending on the weather, different things like that. Having capacity issues on particularly hot days. Speaking with Supervisor Lipscomb and Supervisor Stamper, one of the things that the Parks Department would like to do is to take a look at modifying this where the Parks Department would offer free swimming lessons at Washington Park Pool for any Milwaukee County resident on Saturday mornings. The normal length of swimming lessons are 10 weeks. What we would like to do to encourage the participation in that is after the person comes for the first, second, the third time, we would like to give that person a seasonal pool pass so that they could use any outdoor deep well pool in Milwaukee County as long as they were continuing to learn how to swim. One of the other things that I did also was I touched base with Ken Leinbach from the Urban Ecology Center, and if you've got kids that have already learned that know how to swim, to get them to the ability to be able to go to the pools the Urban Ecology Center would like to develop some programming, some environmental stewardship programming that the kids could go through, complete that educational opportunity on, you know, recycling water, you know, just overall recycling, whatever programming Ken and his staff have put together, and then we'd like to have them be an agent for us to award a free outdoor swimming pass to kids. And so that way, you know, we can encourage more usage, we can encourage kids to learn how to swim, we can encourage adults to come and learn how to swim on Saturday mornings, we can teach kids more environmental education through the Urban Ecology Center. I think that there's some things that we could do with our friends groups that, you know, could encourage that too. And so I know I'd like to work with Supervisor Stamper, Supervisor Lipscomb on, you know, putting this down on paper in black and white and coming up with a program that I think could benefit everybody.
Thank you. Supervisor Alexander, do you have any more questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question is in the amendment, it says the Parks Director shall have the authority to suspend the policy at any time for any security, staffing, or operational concerns. I'm curious what the policy is right now, you know, regardless of what the fee to get into the pool is. If a swarm of people came down on that pool, given any hot day in the summer, what is the procedure for determining if you're at capacity, if you have to turn people away, if you have to call in more lifeguards? I don't know how that all works.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, our pools on an average day are staffed at a level that they have to be per state code, and that is based upon water capacity of the pool and the square footage of it. And if we have 5 people in the pool or we have 500 people in the pool, we will not go below the minimum that the state requires. And so we don't have that flexibility to pull back on staff. We can shut off parts of pools, different things like that. But what we have is we know what our capacities are. We're inspected by the city of Milwaukee all the time to make sure we're in compliance with that. We do have counts of the people in the pool inside of the fence and what we have on very hot days. And we've seen this a number of times last summer because, you know, we were extraordinarily warm last summer, a lot of 90-degree days, is we'll get crowds that become really inside of the pool and we'll get crowds that become really outside of the pool. And then either the Sheriff's Department or, as of last year, MPD, you know, they would have 20 squads parked in our parking lot, and we would shut the place down. And that's where, you know, it comes down to having, you know, the safety and security concerns that I expressed to these guys earlier. I think there's some great opportunities to help Washington Pool, to help people learn how to swim, and I think I'd like to work with the two sponsors of the amendment to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Flesh that out.
I think that more kids learning to swim by being able to go to the pool all summer for free is going to ultimately present some drownings out of that generation, and I think that in a way it's almost like seed money because it creates a habit within the neighborhood of, hey guys, let's go down to the pool. You do that enough over an entire season rather than maybe just here and there on a Saturday or this pool and that pool across the county on some free day that you have the calendar, you create a cultural habit within the community which has the ability to span into the following year, possibly, if it wasn't free in future years, creating more revenue for the Parks Department over the long term. So I'm excited to support this for now. If it doesn't pass and there is need for a more collaborative agreement with the Parks Department, I would be interested in that as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I think we've had a good discussion on this, and I don't think we need any more, so can you take the roll on Supervisor Stanford's motion to approve this item?
Supervisor
Toth? Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Bromowitz?
No. Jerzyk? Aye. Lipscomb? Aye.
Stanford?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to approve on a vote of 7-2.
Thank you. And as we stated earlier, the next two under the Parks, Recreation, and Culture departments have been laid over.
We are now on the capital improvements. Amendment 1B002 by Supervisor Kinsley.
Madam Chairwoman.
Thank you. We are moving along very nicely today. So what you have before you, I think it's good to have up as we get into the discussion of capital projects. So we're on Amendment 1B002, as stated. What this is modeled after is a different way of looking at how we strategically fund capital improvement projects. And where I got this idea to change a little bit of the process to add more strategy and transparency and teamwork is from the city of Milwaukee. They have this similar type of a capital committee. As you see, the makeup of the capital committee is a mixture of course, administration, the director of transportation, the fiscal and budget administrator, comptroller, and then various members of policy committees here, as well as two appointments from the county executive that would be citizen-like appointments on that committee. In addition, following down the language, we would get information much earlier in the process, around April 15th, from every department head. We'd get a 5-year capital plan from each department, so we can see what the plans are and be developing that policy. That would then go to the respective policy committees, and from there it would go to this new capital committee. So earlier in the process, supervisors and the public would know what the strategic plans are. I think we could be much more comprehensive and proactive, because deferred maintenance and ongoing maintenance is of a great concern to this policymaking body as well as the community. And so this would be obviously prospectively. It would, you know, start next year. And I just think that this change would really improve that we are going about our capital process. And I think it would be more inclusive, comprehensive, and would provide definitely more participation and transparency. So I offer this amendment. I've talked to many people. I probably haven't gotten to everyone that I would have liked to, but I hope you'll consider it, and I think it would be a step in the right direction as we start to change the direction. And that's what I want to let the public know who's listening, that we are changing the direction here. You know, we're doing a bit of spending here in this budget because of last year we weren't able to because of the federal stimulus dollars, but we're going to begin gradually looking at deferred maintenance and ongoing maintenance. You know, I said that it took us some time to get where we are, and it's going to take some time to change course, but we're in it. The county board definitely is in it, along with the administration, to make that investment. So I hope you can support what I think is a very new, thorough strategic plan. Thank you.
I just had a couple of questions. One, if I count it right, is it an eight-member panel?
Let's see. Yes, correct.
Okay. I just didn't know if you had thought about wanting to have an odd number in case something happens. Just and then I noticed you put designees for the co-chairs of the Committee on Finance Personnel Audit,
mm-hmm.
but not for anyone else. And perhaps the comptroller might want to use his designee, and you might want to designate someone else. I mean, that might just be something to think about as this moves forward.
Chairman, actually, I think it's just maybe it needs a grammatical change. Because the designees was supposed to apply to everyone before that.
Okay, maybe I read that wrong.
Yeah,
maybe grammatically that works, and I read it wrong. Okay, thanks. Supervisor Johnson?
Mr. Chairman, I hold a pro vote.
Supervisor Jerzyk?
Thank you. I will be supportive. I was glad when the chairwoman agreed to have, first of all, 5-year capital improvement plans submitted first to the standing committees. I thought that was extremely important. I think the standing committees, as the policymakers of the county, should have the first option to see these plans and to ask questions, etc. I was not happy with the process that was used this year for capital improvements, the three-person panel, and how they exercised their discretion was somewhat of a mystery to me. We've always talked about trying to get 5-year plans and to have a good long-range plan. I think all of us can understand once in a while not getting a lot of projects for our own districts if we know in the big picture our districts are going to be taken care of. And that's certainly true of the South Shore this year. I think the South Shore got treated pretty thinly this year to some real disappointment. But I do think as long as we can get a bigger picture plan, we get the standing committees involved, and then we have this committee perhaps rating instead of just having this looked at from the administration weighing different things and really not understanding perhaps sometimes where they're coming from, puts a little bit more certainty in the process. So I'm glad we're going to address this, and I'll call you. We'll certainly approve it.
Supervisor Alexander and Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm really excited about this amendment. I think that it's moving us in a positive direction. I do have one question regarding the first underlying paragraph regarding designees. It seems that it's a little confusing as to whether or not these department heads would be choosing someone to take their place on this committee, formally and permanently, or if they're just sending someone in their absence when they can't make it, or if they have leeway there. And I'm wondering, rather than hashing out what the right decision there is, what the author's intended meaning is, if we move forward with this today regarding the last paragraph of the amendment, would we be able to simply clarify that in the ordinance before it's codified?
Mr. Chairman? Yes. So that's the second person mentioning that, so I apologize for the lack of clarity there, but the intention is, especially when you have department heads or chairs of committees, or perhaps even village presidents and mayors, obviously there could be conflict, so it's that there be not necessarily a permanent designee, but a kind of an on-call person just in case. And so I will work to clarify that, and I would ask... I would ask to go forward on this because you are correct, Supervisor Alexander, that there is an accompanying ordinance change where I believe that we could even further designate that. And if we see that we need to do more, I could offer a substitute in the future, but I would like to move forward with this just because it's more of a grammatical issue. But thank you very much. Also, Mr. Chairman, while I have your attention, I forgot to mention that Supervisor Michael Mayo had asked to be a co-sponsor. So... if you allow that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I appreciate this amendment, Chairman. This committee is well needed. One question though, will this committee supersede that third panel from Dallas or at least replace it?
That is an excellent question, Mr. Chairman. So the county executive, as stated in the Constitution, obviously has the right, which we respect, to put forward his own capital budget. So he could continue with what he would like to do. But we also have the right as legislative branch that if that would happen, and I don't know if that would happen, we then through this could substitute that request when the capital budget is up with this more comprehensive strategic recommendation from this committee. So, of course, he has that authority to put forth his own capital budget, but I would hope he would hear the policymakers when we change this ordinance and use this capital committee. But if he did not, then we could, in the future, exchange his recommendation for this capital committee's recommendation.
Okay. But it's possible you may have one of their members on your committee.
Mr. Chair, in fact, we do. We have a number of members from the administration. We have the two directors of transportation as well as the current director of transportation as well as the fiscal budget administrator and then the independent comptroller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor, please.
Okay. Supervisor Schmidt and Ms. Torres had some comments.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A lot of things to kind of munch on here in a short period of time. I didn't have a chance to talk to the chairman, but I just look at the history and some things I kind of complained about, too. I don't know if complaint's the right word, but to make sure, you know, these capital budgets seem to be done a little bit in the vacuum, and you know, I do appreciate that, but we've had a lot of testimony in the last couple of years. The department has come up and say, well, We talked. We didn't agree on, you know, they don't kind of say that because they're part of the executive, and they say, well, yeah, we go along with what the county executive said. But then when we push them, well, I really would prioritize in different ways. Or we also talk about, well, isn't this policy decision, shouldn't they come in front of the standing committees and we vet these things out so everybody feels they have a say in this? So I think there really are some key points. I think you intend some of this, but I think better than maybe even you thought, Madam Chairwoman. So being the capital budgets, a big portion when we look at capital budgets, the main $100 million or more is the airport, of course. It's under transportation. And you got transportation and highways and the roads, so it's very obvious transportation, the director of transportation and the head of the transportation committee, those are really key people who should be on this committee. Also key people, obviously the fiscal and budget administrator and obviously the comptroller. And then I think it's also very, we talked about that too, I think you'd make sure you had some suburban representation. So the county executive would take two non-city Milwaukee. That is the intention, Madam Chairwoman, I'm presuming?
Well, it does say mayors or village presidents of municipalities, but I think there'd be an 18 out of 19 chance that they'd be outside of the city of Milwaukee.
Well, I don't want to be overly sensitive about that, but I guess I am a little bit, and in that I don't jump on things just because the city of Milwaukee does it, to be real honest with it. Because, you know, I don't like comparing a lot of times ourselves to the city of Milwaukee. We're not the city of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. We're the Milwaukee County. And we look at things differently and have some different perspectives and have some different responsibilities. We have plenty of representation on this committee, on our board, from the city of Milwaukee. It's the largest municipality by far, and I understand and appreciate that. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of suburban representation out there, non-Milwaukee, and they need to have a fair share, too, in this whole picture. So I'd be very adamant that at least two appointees, and I know you've increased it from one to two, and I think that really is very necessary. A lot of the committee's chairman, if you looked at chairman now, they tend to be city Milwaukee people. That's fine. Okay. But I'm just saying that if we're talking about, you know, fairness and making sure everybody's represented, and so no one knows that I joined. It's not north side versus south side. It's not, you know, a municipality, a city Milwaukee versus the other municipalities. Then you have to have a broad spectrum here. And then so everybody realizes that, and I like to go along with what we've done. I like the ranking. I want to make sure we're ranking these all the time. And we make the policy here, and we're really hit by these decisions, so I really think we have a role to play here. And we're looking at cooperation with the executive here, too. This is something we should be able to come to some conclusion about. We shouldn't be in opposite camps on this. What is the greatest needs of Milwaukee County and how do we do it? Well, I think we should, the good people we have on this, both the executive, the legislative, City of Milwaukee, non-City of Milwaukee, you know, I think we're going to get to that point. I think this is a good move for those reasons. And in particular, I want to emphasize again the fact that the standing committee should have a role in this too. We should be able to talk to department chairs. It's pretty hard. I've seen too many times in the budget, and I'm not, you know, going to start throwing blame on here, but sometimes we get the department chair to say, we kind of talked about it, okay? Well, we have a chance to talk to the department chairs at the standing committees. They should be able to vet these things and prioritize to us, and it'll help the process with the executive, too. And, you know, the executive gets the first kick at it, and then things change in 3 months. You know, they're doing these budgets in the summer. There's report. Look, things change every month, don't they? And so we have a chance to look after that, look at your budget, have people get together, and give us a list that we all in common can really say, yeah, this is a good list, because people have looked at it. So there's some real pluses to this, I think, and I would certainly support it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Torres, did you have something to add?
Actually, Supervisor Stamper, I asked my primary question of how this works in conjunction with the state statute that governs how budgets are authorized within the county. So the clarification is that this would not supersede any authority that the county executive has to submit his own capital budget. You know, obviously having received this earlier today, I think there are state statute concerns that we would want to follow up with Corporation Council on. So having that clarified is good for us. So I think that was the one question I had.
Quickly to conclude, thank you. I think I got it that we're talking about cooperation here, and it works both ways. So I think we're saying we'd like this preferred method on this committee that has a great balance of legislative as well as administrative positions and roles on this committee. But again, we totally respect the county executive could do exactly what he chooses without any input from this properly balanced committee. But again, the legislative branch then could choose to exchange that for what we thought was the product of a more transparent, comprehensive process. So I want to be clear there. This would not, in no way would this take away his authority, but I do think it would be a great example of partnership and cooperation. Thank you.
His or her authority, depending on what happens in the future.
Right. Currently, right. It's he.
Okay, any...
Let's not overuse that chief pronoun.
Yeah, I think we've had a good discussion on this, and we had a motion to approve, correct?
Mr.
Can you take the roll, please? Oh.
Motion for approval. Supervisor Hogg?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Fomo West?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
And Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Thank you.
Approved by a vote of 9-0. We are now on budget amendment 1B006 for Supervisor Mann.
Supervisor Neal.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, how you doing?
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
And basically, I wanted to make see that we can do this capital project. There's no CEO capital. It's coming from the airport. It's not going to go into the capital cap. If you go to our airport, we have a wonderful airport, but we need an escalator. And if you need people to come up and down, it's broken at the present moment. We need to get it fixed to make sure that we get passengers to the airport on time. And you have people who may handicap or not handicap need to go up, instead of go upstairs and use the escalator. I have a young lady from the finance department. If she has questions, she can help me out. Move approval.
Do you have anything to add to that? As I understand, I was told this was sort of an oversight not put in the budget. It should have been in the original budget. Is that correct?
No, don't put it on the spot like that. We can work together on this thing. It's not an oversight. We just realized it was broken. We're trying to make it work.
This would be...
Can you identify yourself for the record, please?
Oh, sorry. Pat Walsleger. I'm the Deputy Airport Director, Finance and Administration. And this would be the second year of a 4-year replacement project.
Okay. Supervisor Stamper.
Move approval. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? Supervisor Schmidt.
I will let Supervisor Mayo off this easy. could we put bicycles there too so people could take bikes? I'm just kidding. Okay. These, you said very seriously, you said that the second year of a four-year program, this is kind of the thing we were talking about with. We did ask for prioritized lists from department chairs, so I'm just curious, seriously, do I remember seeing this on the prioritized list, or, you know, this, you know, we were automatically going to do it anyway? I mean, they really need to be done. Does it work in with the other projects? I'd like to hear that, too. Or, you know, is it in priority? You know, were we going to substitute it for something else, and now this comes up, or Supervisor Mayo caught it and the department didn't, or what? Thank you.
Sure. I would say it is a priority. I don't know that it rose to the top of our priority list in our request. We have lots of projects that are priorities. However, this one, it does cost us in the maintenance area if we don't do this. We have five sets of escalators. The first one was done as part of a different project. The second one is part of this four-year project, is under construction, will be done this year. And then this would be the one in 13, and then we are hoping to have approval for two more in the two subsequent years. It's three from the ticketing area and two into the baggage claim area is the total of the escalators.
Just a quick follow-up would be, thank you. Is that, I see budgeted, you know, appropriation $650,000. I do like always when I see those kinds of things that any surplus appropriations, if it lapses, if it needs another project, come back to the board. So I do like that. Do we have, that's obviously looked at very closely. The data shows how much it took for the first two, and this would be what we figure out should be the cost, or, you know, how do we figure out the $650,000 exactly?
Yes, it's based on historical, so it should be the cost.
Answer my own question, right?
Supervisor Smith, you didn't ask a question, but we're trying to work and give you all the information up front. I know that we didn't want to take a lot of time from the Finance Committee. You've done a lot of good work today, so can we move along, please?
That's fine with me. Supervisor Haas apparently wants to ask a question.
The burden the clerk asked you to be your
correspondent. Okay. We have a motion. Then after you add Supervisor Haas's correspondence, can you take the roll, please?
Motion for approval, Supervisor Haas.
Aye.
Smith.
Aye.
From OF.
Aye.
Jersey.
Aye.
Lipsco.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved, 9-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next amendment is 1B003 by Supervisor Haas.
Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another relatively easy decision to work with our local disc golf association to put in big courses down on the south side. Disc golf can even be played by folks in wheelchairs. That's why we want to add a small course to Humboldt Park. It's very easy to pick up and pleasantly addictive, I gotta say. So I move approval.
Okay. Any questions or discussions? Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In one of the parks of my district, I have a disc golf course and receive a lot of complaints about it from people who used the park before the course was there. That's my understanding from the Parks Department that, for the most part, a lot of people are really happy with the disc golf course, but I just wanted to check with the sponsoring supervisor if the public has been talked to about this, or is there general support from current park users that aren't necessarily part of this part of the users of the new disc golf course?
Supervisor Haas.
Yes, Chairman. Thank you. Yes, this has been an ongoing topic in specifically the Holler Park. They have the Easter Seals Lodge, where they perform a lot of disability services as it is, much like Willoway up in Supervisor Schmidt's district. That's why we have the language here for the ADA compliant course to be looked at for Holland Park. All these parks are very big parts of their neighborhoods and the whole community. And my discussion with both the Garden District and Bayview is ongoing. Thank you, Chairman.
So, Ray Lipkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, I mean, on the surface, simple enough feasibility, but we're really talking about three parks and some, these are all in the 14th, and doesn't the Parks Department already have a, is there an existing plan in terms of how they're, you know, the sort of the geographic distribution and where they think that there's enough demand to roll out more, and I expect that since they've done it, they have some idea already of the cost. I guess I'd like to understand, what are we really getting ourselves into and putting ourselves on a path for three new ones in a concentrated area?
Supervisor Haas.
I'd like to call Mr. Keegan from the Parks Department, who will be better suited to answer that question.
Mr. Keegan.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Jim Keegan from the Parks Department. Currently, the Parks Department has six sites where we offer disc golf. The Milwaukee County also has the Office with Persons with Disability, has the two Willoways where they offer three ADA accessible holes of disc golf at their courses. The majority of our courses are on the north side. Mm-hmm. We have been working with the disc golf associations through the years to identify, work with the community, to work and look at where the demand is, and so that we can figure out where our supply needs to be. That's in talking with Supervisor Haas. That's why I asked him to word it more where, you know, explore the feasibility, work with the local friends groups, work with the local community to make sure that there's a support for it, and that the associations have been the groups that have picked up all the cost associated with doing the installation and the upkeep, the major maintenance upkeep of these facilities. And so, you know, we would be more than happy to do some more exploration on the south side to see if it's feasible.
Thank you. And then just, I mean, given the distribution we currently have and what this is suggesting, do you think that we would expect to move forward on all three, or do you see this more as we were evaluating all three, but that we would move forward with some subset of that?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I think we would evaluate before we would and work with the local communities to make sure that there's the demand before we supply it.
Okay. I just want to make sure that in supporting the evaluation that we don't give the impression that we are in fact going to build three new ones and that we're sort of committed to that.
More Southside Park for Supervisor Haas.
Right.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Keegan, also state, the reason why this is a worthwhile program, they have tournaments. They've been there in Dineen Park and Dresta. Can you name all the parks on the north side? Because people really enjoy and come on there. They actually come around and do the thing, and they bring more people into the park, bring more activity. It's a worthwhile, has a very low maintenance sport within, so can you tell them what the cost is for several courts?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I don't know the exact cost, but to establish a tee and a basket and you know, pretty much one hole is about $2,500. The Disc Golf Course Association have been the ones that have covered all the costs. Milwaukee County has incurred no cost in the development of any of the disc golf resources that we have. And Supervisor Mayo stated, you know, we've hosted the World Championships of Midwestern Golf, disc golf, and that it's a huge sport. It's a growing sport. People like it, and there's more people picking it up all the time.
Good commercial. So we have a motion to approve. So no other discussion. Could you take the roll?
On the motion, Supervisor Hodge.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Kamalak.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to approve, 9-0. The next amendment is 1B001 by Supervisor Broderick.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, colleagues.
A year or more ago, the county executive overturned the longstanding county board policy in the percentage for art program. What he did early in his administration was essentially to substitute his judgment for ours. And what I'm asking we do here with lower percentage and lower threshold limits is to reinstate the public art program. It's our long-standing policy, and I think we ought to be permitting its continuation at least until such time as this board decides that a change of policy is in order. You'll note that there are no levy indicated.
Any questions or comments? Supervisor Alexander and Supervisor Stamper.
Mr. Chairman, could I please ask for clarification of the prior parameters of the public art program in the...
Yes, they have essentially been halved. It was 1% for art, 1% of capital, qualifying capital budgets, and this reduces that to a half cent but lowers the threshold for qualification to $250,000 rather than the $500,000 limit that had been part of that policy. And still, for that matter, is part of that policy because it's a policy that we have not altered or rescinded. And, of course, we are, I would emphasize, the policymakers.
And, Mr. Chairman, am I understanding the amendment correctly in the last part of the amendment that in addition to reinstating the public art program with the new percentage and threshold, we would also be bonding $150,000 to kickstart that? Or I want to make sure.
I would ask staff to address that. That was an estimate that I believe came from the percentage of qualifying projects currently in the capital budget.
So for clarification, Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure that the $150,000 is intended to be an estimate of what would be netted through this amendment rather than a statement that we would also be bonding that amount.
Thank you.
Chairman, that amount of $150,000 is in bonding is basically as a base board to address current issues and current needs of public art since it has been on hiatus. The total amount will be around $200,000 given the $50,000 that's already allocated in the land sales portion of the operating budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad that Supervisor Broderick has offered this amendment because in the past we've had an opportunity to have artists, artist associations get involved with the public art program. We've also had, we had a valuable program that was administrated by a very wonderful group that got a lot of children involved in order to prepare art and to put art in the airport. So I welcome the return of this program and hope that maybe more budding artists, some of whom might be your children or your relatives, would get involved in the program.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I might add...
I move approval if it hasn't been done.
Thank you. That very dedicated staff that that Supervisor Johnson referenced was rather taken aback after 10 years of hard labor to suddenly and without notice have the funding pulled out from under them. They continue to be willing to serve. They have all the skill to produce the kinds of results that we've seen replicated throughout our county, and I think it's a wise investment of our money. You know, the eliminating the public art program consigns us to the Bush Leagues culturally of major cities, and I think those folks that visit Milwaukee and other places would find that to be a blow to the local ego.
Ms. Torres?
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. A couple points I'd like to make. While a county executive has always valued art in our community and has supported it, the best way to address this. We don't believe it's through our capital program. Just because it's a long-standing policy doesn't mean it's one that shouldn't be looked at and considered if that's currently what we should be allocating our money for. The process that we put in place this year, we believe, is a good stopgap until the deferred maintenance is addressed in the county and we have a lower capital budget that we need to look at. And I do have a question for maybe staff or the comptroller, but I believe that this would actually have a levy impact. All of our bonding decisions do impact the levy at some level. We do process that through payments that are impacted in the amount that we finance in levy. So I don't believe that the fiscal note is accurate if there's no levy impact. That's the general thing, and I think you all would know that we would veto this.
Mr. Chair?
I was wondering, DAS seems to be conferring on the question.
Chairman and Supervisors, Vince Masterson, DAS Fiscal Affairs. We were looking at the wording of the amendment, and there are components, and based on the way the public art program is established right now, or currently is established, we would like to confer with the comptroller, specifically Pam Bryant, since she has a history with this, just to determine whether or not there would be a tax levy impact on this.
Mr. Kay, do you have anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, as you know, bonding typically doesn't turn into debt service, which equals tax levy into the subsequent year. So to the extent that it would be under operating projects and not airport, for example, that may be charged out. That may not have a tax levy impact. We did just a cursory review of this year's capital improvement projects, and it appears that if you had the 1% for art program, you would have had about $450,000 earmarked for art, primarily related to the baggage claim project, and slightly less than $100,000 if you were looking at just other operating budgets. How that would translate into the tax lien impact, we don't have that for you.
Is you ready, Barker?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would emphasize that there was in excess, I believe, of $750,000 that was in the public art account that was then transferred to other purposes, including capital money being transferred for purposes of maintenance, which I don't know how that guy got past Ms. Bryant. Apparently, and I believe the money wasn't ultimately used that way because it would have been inappropriate, but what I would underscore here is that this policy should stand, as I had indicated, until such time as we as a board, as we the policymakers, decide that a change is in order. You know, I don't think it is the business of the county executive to be dictating policy to us.
Supervisor Roma West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to be very supportive of this. And I want to thank Supervisor Broderick for his for putting forth the initiative. Every time I go to Chicago and I go to Millennium Park and I see the crowds and crowds of people that are surrounding the public art there, I just kick myself a little and wonder why Milwaukee County hasn't embraced really the impact that public art can have. I mean, imagine the people that travel to that park, that eat in that area, go to the harbor, that make a weekend out of going to get their picture taken next to the bean in Millennium Park. And then you have, you know, it's just, it boggles my mind. There's so much potential here. Not only that, but just being blessed with having some of the friends that I have, circles that I travel in, working with people on the Dia de los Muertos parade, and seeing all of the wonderful artists that we have here in Milwaukee. I mean, written, spoken, music, you know, murals. It's, you know, we should be leaps and bounds above other cities our size. And I really don't feel like we are. Every time I travel somewhere, I feel like wow, why doesn't Milwaukee have this? Even, you know, downtown, we were in Tennessee a couple of years ago. Downtown Tennessee, they have sculptures on almost every block. You know, a forest is doing different things, whatever. They made it a fundraiser. And it, you know, it saddens me a little that, you know, we don't have that emphasis on art here in Milwaukee. And so, again, I'm going to be very supportive of this. I want to thank you, and I agree with your comments 110%. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Oh, Supervisor Jersey.
Just one quick comment. If we waited for deferred maintenance to be taken care of, we would never have public art.
Anything further?
Chairman,
Supervisor Lipson.
If I could just get a clarification. So the in terms of the estimate, so the, while the percentage is cut in half, the eligibility actually becomes more restrictive, and that's why the estimate is actually only about a third of what it would otherwise be under the existing. Is that what I was understanding? That under the existing formula, we would come up with 450 if we were to use the 1%, but or did I misunderstand?
Yeah, I believe it would be very much dependent upon that threshold as it applied to other capital projects. It actually lowers the standard for qualification from 500 to 250, but it also diminishes the percentage by half. I think when you can contrast that against the fact that the committee I've spoken of spent 10 years, and most of them were members of that committee, many of them for that long, planning and executing those plans, putting out RFPs, interviewing artists. The contrast I would draw is the $750,000 that was suddenly taken away. This doesn't. I'm not asking for the replenishment of that money, although I think it would be perfectly appropriate. But the fact is that this is going to be a lesser amount, but it will keep alive at least the public percentage for art program and permit us to build on a lesser foundation, but still an extant program.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to see if I can take a shot at it. I think Supervisor Broderick is reestablishing the policy at a half a percent using the same criteria, but the funding amount that's being provided for this budget does not necessarily tie to what the art may equal if you had a half percent in the 2013 budget, but establishes a policy going forward for subsequent budgets. So the 150, I think, is an estimate just for 2013, with the policy being in place for an ongoing a half percent for those eligible projects.
And do we know the effects of lowering the threshold from 250,000 from 500,000?
Mr. Chairman, that would all be dependent on what each project gets evaluated.
What's historically, I mean, did anybody know that? I mean, why that number was picked out? I mean, there must be a reason that. May I ask Supervisor Broderick, right? Pick that number.
This policy went into effect in about the year 2000, and I wasn't here then. I don't know what the rationale was, but I think the figures that Mr. Cady cited, in fact, I don't know what it would be on average as I consider that question. But it did amount over years to $750,000. That was a large amount of money. If you recall, it was intended for a project here at the courthouse, not unlike Supervisor Roman West's comment about the bean in Chicago. It would have been a profound impact, I think, on the downtown area. But it was never realized.
Mr. Chairman.
As well, Supervisor Schmidt and Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you. Well, I guess I'm just trying to reality check 101 as usual, and that is, you know, we don't know how much it'll cost. I appreciate the passion. I like art. I don't want to pay Chicago taxes, by the way, for all that. And we don't know how much it costs, and I just, the reality point, I'm sorry, is this.
But I'd rather have 150,000, 250,000, 300,000, 400,000, whatever it is, for bikes and trails or my roadways, or my projects that we've just been, we've been talking for 2 weeks about deferred maintenance and everything else we need to do, and we can't do everything we can. And public art is not a priority on this. You know, we're putting 50,000 in. And, you know, I'm sorry, if I'm going to go back to my constituents and say, well, no, you can't have Menominee River Parkway done because we're putting in 200 or 300,000 in public art. Well, where is it? Well, where? So I don't want to seem to be, you know, against public art. We need to do some. I think we need to scale back because of the realities of what we've been through. And, you know, just like I said, I think it's just a hard sell to... everybody I talk to almost just say, you know, we've been waiting a long time for some of these repairs we need. And the bonding, the limited bonding, we should have done more public art the last 2 years, Build America bonds. We had extra money to put in these projects. We waited 2 years for many projects that I'm fighting for in my district I haven't gotten. And I want to see that money go to those projects. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was here in 2000. I was elected in 2000, and supervisors are very excited about initiating this program because not only could you look at projects that were at the courthouse and the airport, but there are also projects in your supervisory and lots of supervisory districts. And the constituents, those who appreciated art, were very excited about looking at the fact that there could be some art projects incorporated in the capital projects that were in their district. So I think this is a worthy initiative, and I moved approval of it, and I hope that my colleagues will vote for it. Sure, we have maintenance needs. There are a lot of needs, but on the other hand, we don't have to be so crass and so, I'm going to put it this way, we don't have to be so restricted as it relates to looking at only educational projects as being where art projects lie, where art is applied. We can also, as we have a big county and there are a lot of people who have some creativity, innovation, and have varied interests. So I think this will help, not necessarily to bring the excitement that occurred when this program was initiated, but when the art money was taken away, there was a human cry about what had happened. In as much as for many years we did have that valuable program offered by Milwaukee County. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Lipscomb and Supervisor Romo West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want a clarification. Is the intent that this is phasing back in public art program, and so for 13 we set aside 150, and for 14 we're expected to the administration's expected to do the 0.5%, but then at some point we return to the original policy, or does it
I think what we need to do is continue the operation of this program and next year review it. And in light of economic circumstances then, make decisions as to whether or not it should be continued, terminated. We put it on a hiatus, if you recall, recently, this spring, I think. And this reactivates it, but frankly, we never changed the policy. And the fact that we didn't would seem to indicate to me that 1% of all capital projects should continue to accrue in that account until we change the policy. So the administration will have a different view of that, but my view is that we make policy and we haven't changed our policy, and if there is rebuttal, I'd like to hear that addressed in the process of that rebuttal.
Mr. Chair, I think, and I don't mean this, I hope this will be taken appropriately, I would move layover. For me, it would be helpful to think about and investigate some of this. I think I could be supportive of an allocation, but I don't think that I want to support a new formula that I don't understand. And so I hope the author will take that as actually supportive of the intent.
So we have a motion to lay this over. Do you want to speak on why don't we keep the layover?
I would support layover as well, because, you know, and I think perhaps we were being a little short-sighted when it comes to public art. It's been on the front of the Hank Aaron State Trail. We have tons of public art on that trail, and we've done it, you know, as renovation projects. You know, and we include, you know, neighborhood kids, and they, you know, some of the stuff is, you know, cost next to nothing to do. And so I would be supportive of trying to find a way that we can actually make a connect between public art and some of these, the upkeep that we need to do, because I think that there is more, there's more space where we can expand, if you will, perception.
And I think Supervisor Roman West raises a very important point. That's that currently there is no funding for maintenance of any of this work. There is lighting that has remained to be done, and I think that was the intent of the $50,000, was to be able to complete a number of projects that remain undone. But I bow to the wisdom of the committee. I think to review this thoroughly is a good idea.
Okay, so we have a motion to lay this over, and then Supervisor Broderick bows to the wisdom of the committee. So we have that on tape, just in case anybody asks. So can you take the roll on the motion to lay this over?
On the layover, Supervisor
Hoff?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Fumble West?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Camper?
Aye. Johnson? No.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion to layover approved on a vote of
7-2. And in case people weren't here earlier, the next two amendments under capital improvements have been laid over. So we'll move to Transportation and Public Works.
First amendment on your deck is 1A029 by Supervisor Hoss and Bull.
Supervisor Hoss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is, I think, this could be a good thing in a lot of ways for a lot of our trans riders. This amendment will lower the cash fare on MCTS buses to $1.75, currently at $2.25. It will introduce a new one-day pass, an all-day pass, that will enable a rider to get on whatever he or she pleases and ride his heart's content without the need for transfer, which is good because transfers would be eliminated. Paper transfers are arguably the single largest problem we currently have on the buses right now. They're causing repeated attacks on our bus drivers, and the stories that grab headlines about assaults on the buses are often very related to that. Other important things in this, we will be saving $100,000 on the tax levy. This number comes directly from MCTS's memo to us. This was in the packet that we received today. It was actually on page 3 of the memo from MCTS Director Grant, called an alternative suggestion. We used their numbers to craft this amendment. It would lower the fare for paratransit riders, which is currently at $4, lower it to $3.50. So our most vulnerable citizens who are on fixed incomes would be greatly assisted with this amendment. And all of our constituents would be, I think, very pleased if we were able to save $100,000 on the levy. And so far I have a couple of co-sponsors, Supervisor Alexander, which is a co-sponsor, along with Supervisor Borkowski and Supervisor Stamper. So, and I move approval.
Supervisor Bowen, did you wish to add any comments to that?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to commend Supervisor Haas for working with me on this. We have an opportunity for the first time in years, maybe the first time ever, to lower fares and make our transit system more affordable for our residents. So we think it's really important to compare what residents would be paying now compared to what it would be under this proposal. We also should note that we were interested in lowering the fare even more. I know a dollar ride came up for $1.50, but the problem with that is that the impacts that would have to paratransit revenue, we would lose too much, and under federal guidelines, we can only charge up to twice the amount of the regular cash fare for paratransit. So under this proposal, cash fare goes down to $1.75. Residents that would take advantage of our freeway flyers and our summer festival premium fare would pay the same at $3.25 per ride. Paratransit would go down from $4 a ride to $3.50, and hash the half fare for seniors over the age of 65. And young people under the age of 12 would drop to 75 cents. So we believe this is a win-win. We can increase ridership. We can get rid of transfers that have caused problems for a while. And we can continue to move the county forward, and especially looking at this as an opportunity to keep our residents engaged for when those new fare boxes go into effect. The current $2.25 price is expensive for our residents, and this is, again, a way to make this more affordable.
I just had a question of either you, Supervisor Hosterman. I see Mr. Grant is in the audience. If you don't have the answer, are there riders who would end up paying more for their ride because of this?
That is possible for residents that wouldn't be able to, I guess, walking distance to a location where they can buy a $4 all-day pass. We look at the opportunity for them to even get on the bus to get to a place where they can buy a $4 pass and then have the opportunity to, again, ride the bus all day if they have to pay $2.25 again. And again, that adds up throughout the day. So we're looking at the opportunity for them to pay less. And if it is a round trip where they just have to pay one time, they actually pay less than they would now for a total round trip of $3.50.
Mr. Grant, did you have anything to add to that?
I think what the supervisor stated is correct, but I would just want to be clear that we currently have about 40% of our riders either pay by cash.
Anyone here? Yeah, are you on?
Oh, I'll take your own.
There you go.
Just bring it closer to you.
About 40% of our riders currently pay their fare either by cash or with ticket. That represents about 19,000 customers per day. And about half of those customers require, based on our estimates, a transfer from one bus to another bus to get to their destination. So under this particular model, those customers would be significantly impacted because they would have to pay an additional fare each time they board a bus.
Could you just run that by me again, what you said, so I'm sure I understand it?
Should I start from the beginning,
yeah,
Mr. Chairman? Currently, 40% of our customers pay their fare using cash or a paper ticket. About half of those customers require a transfer to another bus in order to reach their final destination, and that's just one transfer.
How many is it?
About half.
Half?
We estimate about one half. And it is those customers that would be impacted by this fare policy model, where currently they pay their fare when they board the initial bus and they're provided a fee-free transfer. This model eliminates that fee transfer, therefore they would have to pay the fare again when they board the second bus.
How does this affect things like student tickets?
who may have to use a transfer. I mean, they're like 16, maybe 15, 16, 17 years old, so they're adults. They get a student ticket at the end of a day at their high school. How would they, if they have to transfer, how would they do that?
That would have the same impact with respect to anyone that's using a ticket.
So they would either have to get two tickets from their school, they have to talk to the teacher and give them two tickets, or they have to pay a transfer fee.
Correct. Although some students do have a pass, but with respect to those that are using tickets, they would have to use a second ticket or pay cash.
How many students use tickets, do you know?
I do not know, but I do have our financial staff here. Let me see if anyone here knows that answer.
I mean, I don't want to delay this.
No.
Okay. We're going to get some questions. Supervisor Alexander, Supervisor Schumper, do you have some questions also?
Yes. Thank you.
I think I'll Supervisor Alexander first, and then you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisors Haas and Bowen were working on this amendment together, and I was working on a similar separate amendment, and we ended up converging and coming together on this. My biggest point of difference was exactly the types of questions you were just asking. Who could it hurt the most? Would it hurt anybody? Would someone pay more? Another example that I came up with that I was concerned about was if someone takes a bus going, say, one way to work, and they would normally use a transfer and then get picked up in the afternoon, which is something I do on a regular basis. Granted, I have a monthly pass, but if I were paying cash, I would end up paying $350 instead of the $225. So I understand your concerns. But on that note, I ended up coming to a point with agreeing with Supervisors Haas and Bowen that we should move forward with this, because when we take everything into account, I think that ridership would go up with the lower fare. The money that individuals would save on a regular one-way trip, 50 cents a trip from where it is now, would add up over time. And it's my understanding that as part of this, almost a behind-the-scenes part of the budget within MCTF, is that there would be influx going up in marketing so that the public understands better what the changes are, as well as a greater push for weekly or monthly passes for people who are regular riders to make the commitment, which would ultimately save them even more than the lower fares. So while I'll admit, you know, we all have to give and take a little bit in this process, and there was a little bit of trading going on for us to all come together and make an agreement, we spent a lot of time meeting together, consulting with the experts, going over and over and over this, and I think that when we compare this plan to what we have currently, and all is said and done, and we look at the net effect, this plan will be better for Milwaukee County. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Stanford?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Supervisor Alexander. I had the same concerns. How would it negatively affect Milwaukee County's population? But this is better for Milwaukee County. I talked to some bus drivers, and Angela and Pat over there, they're in support of this. And what this does is it will increase the ridership. But what Haas and Bowen and I talked about, as far as awareness and getting people to understand the new changes, an aggressive outreach approach. We decided on how we're going to connect to the community and let them know about the change. So my concern was about the adversity to the community, but we decided an aggressive outreach, an aggressive advertising marketing campaign to let everybody know about the change. So I wanted to add that to the people who are worried about the people who may be affected the most and not know about the change. Real quick question, Mr. Green, are you in support of this?
Well,
thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
This is a tough one for me, Mr. Chairman and supervisors. I certainly support the goal of eliminating paper transfers. You know, we must do everything that we can to protect our drivers. At the same time, I view my job as one of looking out for the interests of our drivers, our customers, and Milwaukee County.
And knowing that this particular proposal would have an impact on customers makes it very difficult to get 100% behind. Nevertheless, it is the best model that we have been able to devise up to this point that allows us to minimize the impact on tax levy.
So we're ready now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to commend the two sponsors of this amendment. My concerns is a couple of things.
Can you get a little closer to the mic? I can hear you, but I'm not sure.
Well, let me just go back to my...
Because
everybody keeps... I'm trying to be nice, but I know I speak... Supervisor Bukowski, can you hear me, Supervisor Bukowski? Oh, thank you very much, Supervisor Bukowski. My concern is, will this go effective March 1st, 2013, am I correct?
That's what it states.
All right, it states that. Where's the advertisement funding for this new program coming out? Because we said we're going to save $100,000. Will we actually save $100,000 for this? I'm talking about for the advertising. Because you know that once you start doing, you need with the new program, you need the marquee. You got to make sure the outlets is going there. When you talk about people going to affect, even though you say that some people may pay $350 because of the ticket and get picked up, the majority of people do not have that. You're going to have more concerns, and I'm concerned about the bus drivers. When a person get on for $1.75, and when they go to another one, say, I just paid $1.75. So you're talking about issuing a one-way ticket, not even a ticket. It's saying, hey, this is $1.75. I hope you get to another place. If you got to take three buses, you're paying that. Because most people, who when they walk up to it, and you talk to them, we got bus drivers now, like them come up here. When they don't have, when they try to get to a location, and they have three things, and they can get that day pass, what are they going to deal with? Because we definitely need to change from transfers. We need to get away from them completely. I mean, transfers being a problem. When I was in 1968, we were still in transfers. They were, not me, from drivers. So let's make that very clear. The transfer been an issue back in the 60s. And for the ones who, I'm not old enough, but I heard about it. But the safety of our drivers are more drastic now. And that's a big concern. And that's just why we're going to have some issues about the shields and everything else coming up in front of this committee. But you better flesh this out. If you pass it, I'm going to support it. But there's a lot of it. I hope we don't get backlash on this issue. Because once you pay $1.75, most people think, because it's $2.25, you're just dropping 50 cents. You get to that next stop. For instance, if I come downtown and I didn't know better, I get on the bus with $1.75. When I get to Farlac, I got to pay another $1.75 to get to work. But if I go a different route, I can pay three buses. A lot of people don't have, they already have the routes maintained. And where they go. But we need to make sure that the drivers are safe, but that you also make damn well why consumers understand what we're going to.
All right. Supervisor Alexander and Supervisor Lipson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, in partial response to Supervisor Mayo's questions, it's my understanding that the advertising to roll out this new program would be absorbed within the MCTS budget.
That's correct, Supervisor. We would, based on this, the estimates in this model, we would anticipate that there would be a slight uptick in revenue, and that would therefore offset the cost of marketing that would certainly be needed to engage in a very aggressive and extensive public education campaign.
Thank you. My second point, Mr. Chairman, is that it's my understanding that any change in the fare structure actually requires consensus in a public meeting. So we have the opportunity for a forum with the public beyond the scope of this budget. And in a worst-case scenario, if the public were to be adamantly against these changes, it's rather simple that they don't end up being implemented if we revert to the tax levy of an additional $100,000 as or amended if we move forward. And third, I personally view this as a great way to bridge into having the new fare boxes. I would presume that we'd be doing a lot of exploration with the options of different fare structures when we have, you know, cards or however this works when we get the new fare boxes. So again, in a worst case scenario that we move forward with this and the public supports it and we get into it and it's not as comfortable as we want it to be, there's another opportunity for change right around the corner in making things even better when we have those new fare boxes installed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just come back with what the supervisor just stated.
Can you run it now?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we will have a public hearing with public. Once this is approved, we've got to come to the transportation public, and we will have a public hearing. I don't think that no one, and you're going to have a handful going to say no. The majority of people would love the fares to go back because we want the roads back to fares if we got dedicated funding because we were going to go road fare back anyway. So my concern, again, that we should go move ahead. But the bottom line, when we have this point and people are concerned, and when the bus drivers and everyone else get these complaints about the $1.75 one way and when they get on another one, because I would like to know, are they going to have more outlets so people have more convenience to get to purchase the day pass, the tickets, or if they receive, I don't think, we're not going, you don't have tickets anymore. It's the day pass, bus, weekly pass, monthly pass, those things. We need more outlets for individuals to make sure they can get that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's work this out, flush it out, but we need to move ahead.
Did you have a direct response to that? Supervisor Lipscomb had some. Oh, Supervisor Lipscomb?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I applaud the efforts of the authors. They went well beyond what I was able to do a couple of years ago in suggesting a similar fare decrease, and I appreciate all the progress they made. I do have a question for MCTS, though, because of the comparison, there were references to the fact that this was the scenario laid out in the October 19th memo, and it appears that there are a couple things that are not in there that I want to make sure that the fiscal note is correct. So, one was just raised, which was the 115 of marketing. In the memo, it appeared that there was an assumption that there was an additional 115 of marketing. Then secondly,
so let's just get an answer to that question first. So,
Mr. Mayor, ask my chief financial officer to join us.
Thank you,
Mr. Grant. I don't know if you're soft spoken or don't speak into the mic, but I hear you, but I know people behind you can hear you.
Good afternoon. My name is Herb Malinger, chief financial officer with Milwaukee Transport. In response to your question, Supervisor, part of our modeling did include an increase in marketing to have a campaign to explain to the public how this change was going to affect them, and it was in the amount of $115,000.
So the question there then would be, does the language of the amendment fully encapsulate all the assumptions that are in the modeling of the memo? So do you get $115,000 of marketing expenditure authority by virtue of this amendment so that we would be able to achieve the projections?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I think the net levy change is correct, but I think there should be changes to the expenditure and revenue numbers.
Okay.
Based on our review this morning, and going back to the October 19th memo, the expenditure increase should be $405,000. If we do not change the freeway flyer fares, the annual revenue change would be $505,000, so it would have a net tax levy decrease of
$100,000. Okay, Mr. Chair, I think that you're starting to get on my second point. So when you talk about the flyer, if we're not changing the flyers, which in the amendment we're not changing the flyers or the festival flyers. In the memo, it talked about the change of the festival flyers alone being $300,000, but it assumed that both flyers were changing. And I don't see
It appears that the change from your memo to the amendment only reflects the one change, the $300,000. So it goes from a $200,000 upper to a $100,000 decrease in levy. And I'm wondering, are both changes encapsulated, are they adequately reflected in here, or do we have a different fiscal note?
Can you tell us what page you're reading
from? Sorry, I'm comparing the amendment to page 4 of the October 19th memo. It begins on page 3 of the memo as another alternative to consider, and it continues through page 5.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, in the memo, we had modeled and said it was a net revenue impact of $200,000 increase. We would have an increase based on the change in the program, taking into account the reductions for paratransit and also for flyer fares. If the flyer fares are adjusted to restore it back to the current $325,000, we would gain additional revenue of $300,000, so the net revenue impact would be $505,000.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kaye, if I could just maybe confuse the matters a little bit more.
Probably.
Mr. Malinger is talking about expenditures, revenues, and tax levy, and that's fine. That's typically how you look at different departmental budgets. How we budget MCTS is a little different. People that have been on this committee before knows that we just give them a lump sum. Okay? So the net effect is that what we'll see is an expenditure change. We either give them more or we give them less. So we don't show expenditures revenue. We won't show any revenues change for the purposes of our budgeting system. Of course, they track revenues and expenditures. So I think we're talking slightly two different systems here. So when you see our presentation box, it will only be a change in the expenditures and levy.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I think that explanation explains relative to marketing why we wouldn't see the additional, why we wouldn't see the move into 115. But it does not resolve whether there's additional flyer revenue built into the model in the memo that's not reflected in the amendment, because the model assumed that was going down and the amendment explicitly says it is not. So it appears to me that there's actually, just as there's $300,000 added for festival revenue, that there should be a reflection of the flyer revenue not changing.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I think you're correct. We saw this amendment this morning. The model would include a reduction in flyer fares across the board, not just the Summerfest. If that revenue is restored, it would be greater than the $300,000. And we'd have to look back at our notes to see what that number would be.
Thank you. Based on that, I think it actually gets better, but I question then whether we should wait for a revised fiscal before we would pass it.
If you want to make a motion to try to lay this over until we get some better information,
I would suggest it's laid over for an updated fiscal.
Okay.
I got a question.
Okay, Supervisor Haas, is that... you're nodding your head. Are we going to have any words for us, Supervisor? Anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I am interested in seeing Supervisor Lipscomb's reasoning more now, and I do think this is it's a fair move.
Supervisor Schmidt. Oh, hi. One thing we haven't talked about, and staying in that line of thinking, I think, lay over, and I do applaud, we got to start thinking outside the collection box here, or something like that. We won't have the quality, the congestion fee stuff next year. Obviously, we're going to have to find trying creative ways. We've cut routes every year. We raise it every year. It's probably worth a shot to try lowering and see if indeed we get more people as the cost goes down. There's some valid concerns that looked at. I appreciate all the work's gone into this. It's not an area a lot of my constituents are very interested in, to be honest with you. So I would certainly defer to the people who have worked on this and have a lot more constituents riding the buses. The question I want to look at, though, is paratransit. It affects all of us. That's one thing we haven't talked about here, and there's some numbers here, so if we're going to lay over, maybe look at this again or help clarify for me. We talked about that New Freedom Initiative. I'm trying to remember all the thousands of pages of parat probably have all read here. That was supposed to do significantly lower. I saw this figure that I just couldn't quite comprehend, like 3,000. No, how many less riders are supposed to be in paratransit compared to last year? 300-some thousand, right?
Correct.
Well, that boggles the mind. Okay, so how does that work? Well, part of that has to be because the New Freedom, we're offering free rides on the buses to people, correct? In the New Freedom Initiative. So I asked before, how many people does that affect? People can do that. And I understand, that the less amount of people who take paratransit, how heavily do we subsidize? Do we subsidize $27 a ride or something like that? We have a very heavy subsidy. This is one of the greatest you talk about great program. You talk about EMS, great program. Okay. You talk about paratransit in the United States, we'll be worried about how far we could go, but that's an unbelievable benefit to our disabled population. I know it's now, it's $4 each way, or maybe it'd be $3.50 each way. I'm just trying to comprehend because Supervisor Cullen asked a question last time, and it's great to get these packets, by the way, to give us information and questions. But he said, if we lower paratransit 50 cents, 75 cents, $1, we said if we lower 50 cents, so that'd be from $4 to $3.50 as it is amendment, we lose $321,000 in revenue. So I'm trying to couch this with the fact that, but if we lose, $200,000 even, and we're taking away $27 per person subsidy for a ride, so we got to come out ahead on that. Is that, I'd like some clarification or help on that. I can't figure this all in my head. And then maybe I have a follow-up.
I guess, Supervisor Schmidt, the question before us is, will we have this information or should we lay this over?
And I'm fine with laying over too, sure.
Okay. Well, why don't we just...
Can be part of the answer, though, please, and Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Please, I was asking.
I know Ms. Torhorst had a question also.
Okay, thank you.
Chairman, Supervisors, I apologize. This isn't necessarily on the layover unless it's information they'd like to provide. I guess my question is if MCTS and perhaps the union could weigh in if this solves the problem of driver safety. Wouldn't they then be beat up for the day passes? I guess that's... Because they're going to have to sell them on the bus.
No.
But then they have to take a bus to the place to buy them with their $1.75. So essentially it's $5.75. I guess I'm just logistically trying to...
How do they do enough?
Yeah. I think we've raised some questions that maybe the best we can do is lay this over. Because as I look at the memo that Supervisor Schmidt referred to the question I asked, it is a $321,000 reduction if we reduce the paratransit fare. And so somehow that $321,000 must be calculated into your...
Yeah.
I don't know how you then reduce everybody's fare and somehow it's a tax levy... decrease for us. So hopefully it means it's just because we serve more people. I think maybe we should lay this over, get some more information.
I just want to make sure we got, if we're doing it too, but the New Freedom Initiative, the numbers on that too, but what we expect there, because that has a lot to do with these terrific reductions in numbers of people who will be taking paratransit. So I think that's something equation, and I think we should try to find out as much as we can too. Okay, does that make sense?
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Chairman. With respect to the New Freedom Initiative, Supervisor, you're asking with respect to the number of individuals that are utilizing the program?
Yes, or how many you expect to utilize the program then, too.
Okay. I
understand. And that's part of marketing stuff, too, obviously, which we just talked about.
So, Supervisor Bowman, do you have something to say on the layover question?
I was just going to mention that part of the reason why the New Freedom Initiative works and is more beneficial for the county is because
seniors and people that are disabled only cost $1.10 under the current fare structure for them to take regular fixed bus route service. So it's kind of where the, I guess, the county eats up the cost of them riding on the bus. Taking those residents that are able to use that service and encouraging them to use a less, more or less expensive instead of paratransit is how that works. And just to follow up on Tia, that again, this would be residents buying the passes at outlets instead of on the bus, which just reduces the amount of risk that our drivers have in carrying around or having access to the transfers that they were once assaulted for. Thank you.
Okay, so do we need a vote on this?
Mr. Chairman, one question.
Can we just delay this over to call the chair based on?
Yeah.
Do we need a vote?
You don't. If there's no objection.
I don't even. Does it matter?
Are you asking?
Does it matter if there's an objection?
Yeah.
Does anyone have to take a vote? Is there an objection? Is anybody objecting to laying this over?
Well, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I have no objection to laying it over. I would like to offer Supervisor Lipscomb to please clarify what he was wanting resolution on.
Sure. Mr. Chair, I believe that the fiscal estimate does not fully reflect everything noted in the memo. I believe it will actually improve. I believe it will actually, my reading of it and the statements I heard, when they reflect that there is no change in the freeway flyer, mm-hmm. revenue actually increases, which brings the levy down.
Can we write the music?
One thing that I was confused about with this is a cost to continue second year under the CMAC money for the Milwaukee County Transit System. There was a $3.5 billion surplus last year. You used $500,000 for additional security. So I think my question is what we're seeing here in terms of these numbers, the advantage of these numbers, partly because of the $3 million surplus that may have been in the budget going forward? And I never was clear about that.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, no, that was not taken into account when this proposal or model was put together. If we have a surplus this year, that goes to the county's bottom line. We don't get the benefit of that next year.
But aren't you planning next year's budget on basically a cost to continue? So if you had a $3.5 million surplus last year, assuming everything is going to be about the same, you should have about a $3.5 million surplus next year.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the lion's share of that surplus is our paratransit program, and we've made cuts in our budget for the 2013 budget year to reflect the reductions we're seeing this year. And I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Well, so, okay, we're hoping to lay this, or maybe lay this over. Do you have a question?
I got a question.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Will the layover affect the start date of the project?
May I answer that, Mr. Chairman?
No, I think the answer is no, because it will have to be adopted in our budget anyway. So the budget, we're not killing it. We're just going to come back in a couple of days while we get more.
All right, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
I'd like to add a request to Supervisor Lipscomb's proposal request. If we could include an estimate for the amount of revenue that would be gained from the illegal selling of transfers on the street. That number is up in the air. Transfers wouldn't exist anymore, but there hasn't been a number confirmed by the administration, so if they could come forth with that number as well in that report, that'd be great.
That would probably be a guesstimate at best, I would suspect.
Right, yeah.
Supervisor Hahn?
Thank you, Mr. Last thing. If you could please, from NCTS, gentlemen, estimate or knowledge of the number of people that currently use tickets, paper tickets, for
passage
on
bus. Okay, I think we'll get some good information. So we have a motion by Supervisor Lipscomb to lay this over.
I'm sorry.
Supervisor Schmidt.
So
because we want to layover, so we're going to get the information. The other point I wanted to make sure on, please, is that, you know, back to the paratransit thing, the initiative, knocking down numbers, your study, you know, 300,000 less. I presume then that private vendors are picking up some of these too, so I'd like to know, you know, just like we do in kind of behavioral health and other areas, if we're taking or going less in one area, someone else should be picking up, so we make sure that we're giving rise to our disabled too. So you understand that question then too? So if someone else is picking it up for us, again, that knowledge, okay?
Good.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Chairman.
See what you mean.
I'll move layover.
And we have that motion.
Yeah, motion. I just want to know when will you bring this item back up so everybody whose interest would be here to hear this item.
Well, it would be at the call of the chair. I think Supervisor Johnson and I would have to figure out what day that works best. We'll let people know. We aren't going to do it. We aren't going to say if it were today, well, we're going to do this in 10 minutes. We'll try to give people at least 24 hours notice that it's coming.
Oh.
So I would anticipate maybe Thursday it would come.
Okay.
Probably not tomorrow because I don't think we'll have the information for us tomorrow.
When I'm being here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. On the motion to lay over, then we need a. I guess we need a roll call. I didn't necessarily feel that there was.
No
one objects now? Okay. Then we'll just do it. Okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah. The next amendment is
1800 from Supervisor Mayo. No. Supervisor Mayo. Mr. Chairman, unfortunately, I have to withdraw this amendment. You should get a letter from the comptroller. And it should also address Supervisor Jersey's question on the last item about surpluses. It actually goes to the bottom line. It has certain things for emergencies, debts. And unfortunately, I will come back with a different type of amendment to establish a reserve fund. So, because 14 is becoming upon us, and we'll be able to deal with that. So I have to withdraw that amendment.
Okay. Madam Clerk, what do we have next? No objection.
The next item is Amendment 1A031 by Supervisor Jersey and Mayo.
Sorry, Supervisor
Jersey. Could we please take 1A032 and 1A031 together, please?
Sure. And you want to move approval for?
We need to. Well, I want to explain what the difference is. I don't know if you need to have the clerk call both of them.
Okay.
Of us.
Yes.
I think you're both of them. The other one would be also by Supervisors Mayo and Jersey, 1A032.
Okay.
And for the committee's illumination here, 1A032, what this is intended to do, and I did express some dissatisfaction when we were taking up these department budgets. The long-range strategic plan that had been worked on over a series of 2 years for facilities was almost glanced over in the county executive's budget. This is intended to put the long-range strategic plan back into the narrative with the goals. And the reason I do that is we got an opinion from county, the Corp Council, that resolutions basically expire after the term of the original supervisors that took it up, strategic planning. I think by putting this into the budget narrative, we get the goals back in the budget with regard to that. Now, last year, even though the county exec did not put any money in the budget for carrying out the strategic plan facilities review, this board had the wisdom of putting over $400,000 in to do a full facilities assessment. That is ongoing as we speak. Originally was hoped that we'd have some strategic planning for this budget year, but because of the delays in getting the money, et cetera, it wasn't ready. Hopefully we will be able to talk
some facilities redesign and reassessment in next year's budget. But this is intended, if you look at it, to put the resolution directives back into the budget, spelling out the goals and the directives. It picks up on that facilities assessment team, which was spelled out in the county exec's budget, but has them actually addressing the strategic planning goals, and to bring a report back to the Committee on Transportation and Public Works, which Chairman Mayo chairs, and I do sit on that as well, as the appropriate standing committee to review the facilities plan in light of what the C.B. Richard Ellis, the assessments that are ongoing this year, and the facilities team that is being put together in this budget, to bring back a strategic plan to either report on a downsizing of facilities or the other goals that are spelled out there, maximizing value through a sale, consolidate county holdings based on best use, consider the safety of the building, which also can reduce cost of operation, reduce long-standing liabilities associated with ownership, and reduce the geographic scope of real estate holdings. That was the original strategic plan approved 2 years ago now, and this gets it back in the budget with specific timelines for reporting back. And I would ask the county board to go along with this. The 032 includes the piece that the chief judge brought forward in the capital budget, if you will, on page 2 of the plan. The WC 087, there's money in the capital budget to review a new Huber facility. This assessment team would come back with a recommendation on whether a separate courthouse complex plan should be initiated in light of what they're going to get in the WC087 new Huber facility monies that are put in for reconstruction. There was extensive work done by a separate committee on the courthouse complex, which has never been acted on. This team should at least look at that piece and bring that piece in. Now, you can either do 1A032, which includes both of those as one piece, or the other ones, 1A031, has the Huber facility courthouse complex plan as just one piece. That's the difference, basically. My preference would be to pass 1A032 and to then withdraw 0031. And I would move approval of 1A032, and if anyone has questions or comments, I'd be happy to try to address it. I'm happy to indicate that the chairman of the Transportation Public Works Committee is a co-sponsor.
Would that be your preference too, Supervisor Mayo, to do the one that you are the lead author on? Okay. Any other questions or comments on 1A032? If not, we have a motion to approve that. Why don't you take the roll?
Motion for approval, Supervisor Hoff.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Romo West.
Aye.
Grissom.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to approve, 9-0.
And 1A031, the author has asked to be withdrawn. Is there any objection? If not, then it's withdrawn. Thank you. That's all we have for today. Supervisor Johnson and I were discussing our schedule for the week. As you know, we have a regular committee meeting scheduled at 9 a.m. on Thursday morning for the regular Finance Committee. We don't know how long that meeting will take. We don't expect it will take that long. So instead of waiting until 1 o'clock to start the budget hearing, maybe if it goes till 10:30, take a half-hour break, start the budget hearing up instead of waiting around for 2.5 hours.
It's a long Thursday.
Right, so if there's no objection to that, then we'll have to maybe redo or do the notice to reflect that. But the budget hearing will start 30 minutes after the regular meeting.
How long are you expecting the regular meeting?
I don't expect it to last that long, based on the agenda.
13 items or something?
Yeah. So, no, they shouldn't be.
He's sharing.
You know, it's...
He's going to move it along.
You got all these people here who say they don't want to talk, and then I say it'll be a half hour, and then we're here 2 hours, and they say, why did you say it'll be a half hour?
I think I did, and the first one I did speak.
So with that, there is no other business before us today. The committee is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, tomorrow, I think you can find out.